Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the damn YouTubes. I'm Roxy Stryer, and across from me is the most evil of all time, Dorina.
Buenos dias. How's everyone doing? Thanks for being here. Happy Monday.
I feel like you can't queen wave when I call you evil.
What is a queen wave? Oh. Like slow?
You gotta... I don't know.
I never know how to wave because my cello hand, it moves too much.
And if you wave, you're going to have force lightning come out of your hand,
exactly.
I'm pretty sure.
Mark Riley with that force lightning going on.
Happy Star Wars week, everybody.
Wow.
You had to.
Yes. I'm excited.
So he's so happy.
I am so excited.
That came really soon. John Rocha in the house.
Happy Star Trek year, everybody. Yeah.
What is Star Trek year?
I don't know. I'm trying to count it.
I mean, Picard does start in January.
Picard
got picked up for season 2 today. Yes. So Picard is
Discovery
killing it already.
Earlier this year.
Let me just ask you, Cody Hall in the booth, what did we do that pissed you off so much you stopped the music multiple times?
Well, he talked about Star Trek. So I was like, that was different than what Riley was talking about.
Right.
So for comedic effect, I stopped the song.
Oh, so it was jarring, but I'm...
Cody, can you explain your joke?
Totally.
Yeah, I can keep doing that.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Let's go through all my sound bites and say why they're funny.
The decision to stop the song. You're not the only person I've made explain their jokes today. Alex was making some jokes earlier.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Alex.
Oh, that's incredible.
She keeps getting confused.
She keeps thinking it's Dorian.
You're so confused.
Wait, but I don't get it. Do it again.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Alex.
It's not Alex.
It's Dorian. It's
Alex. We got to do a side-by-side. Hold on.
No. What?
Alex, you go first. Dorian.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Alex.
What's up, guys? Your boy Dorian.
Oh, that's a pretty good.
Wait, right?
What's
wait.
Up,
well,
guys?
Alex
boy
is a
Alex.
Singer.
Up, guys?
That's why he's so
Dorian?
Good at it, Roxy.
Again.
What's up, guys?
No, I'm telling you, it's not Alex.
This is incredible.
I guarantee you guys.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Alex.
$1,000.
Yeah, bring him in.
Go check Riley.
Bring him in.
Dorian's not in the office, Roxy.
No, he's
out of the office.
They recorded him again. He called in. Like something's happening.
Bring Alex in here.
It's not Alex. Make him say it while you're watching him. This is driving.
No. Bring him in here.
Yeah,
to
bring
do
him
it.
In.
I know Mark
yeah, that's
is watching
right.
on
see it
in
Parks
and Rec.
Yeah,
because Parks and Rec is better than The Office.
Yeah, that's Alex in there.
No, but when you go rogue, it doesn't sound as good. You can only do that one sentence.
Now you're
okay, fine.
So, guys, your boy Dorian.
Wow.
That's actually Dorian.
Well, that is Dorian.
Wait.
Yeah, that was Alex.
This is the best.
I cannot. But you know what? I don't care about any of this because John Frusciante is back in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Hey.
And it's the only thing that is on. You.
I'm telling you, make up your mind. In or out. I'm tired of him leaving.
I played the music because it was awkwardly quiet.
That's a good joke.
Why don't you guys fight about it?
Let's talk about this for a second.
What's up, boys?
Every single person, like literally the internet has never been as united as they are right now with John Frusciante coming back. And leave it to John Rocha to be the first person, literally the first person,
on the
except
internet
today. For Josh Klinghoffer's family, who is not stoked on this.
Dave Novacek might have something to say about it.
How do you pick? How do you pick when you're John? How do you pick what you're annoyed about?
It's just random.
Because
I don't
it's
pick
a
anything.
Lot of
it's organic.
Stuff.
By the way, I'm not annoyed about Frisian coming back. I think it's great he's coming back. The fact is that...
People are excited, but John Rocha has to say why you shouldn't be as excited.
No. He's been gone from the band since 2007. Yeah. It's not like he took another year off. I get it. He's left the band two other times before. But he came back. It's been over a decade. We can't let people change their mind?
I don't like people who come back and leave and come back and leave and come back and leave. I'm not one of those people that likes that, Roxy. Either you're in or you're out. You get one more chance to come back and then that's it.
I gotta be honest, it feels like you are taking a personal shot at somebody. I just don't know who yet.
No, I'm talking about the idea.
I'm trying to think, like
Van Halen, right? Like when he keeps
Josh
coming.
Josh McCuga?
No.
Left and came back.
John Cena.
John Cena.
Ken Napsos. Left and came back. That's who you're taking shots at.
No, we never take shots at those guys.
But sometimes you gotta go and group yourself and, like, you know, do your personal stuff, and then you can come back and collaborate.
His music was bizarre. He always leaves
and has complaints about the band. He always bitches about Kiedis. He always bitches about Flea.
Doesn't bitch about Kiedis?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so what happens during all that time that he comes back? Look, I'm happy he's back. He's fantastic. Certainly the best guitarist they've ever had.
Yes.
And certainly the band is never better than when he's in it.
Thank you.
But maybe that's part of the thing, is that you have to deal with the fact that he comes in and out. So I am happy he's back. I'm just like, how many more times can you keep doing this?
What's wrong when you go?
Because you hurt my heart every time you leave.
What's wrong about coming in and out all the time?
Yeah, I get that.
Muy bien.
Good job, Mark.
Thank you.
Pregnancy.
But here's my question for
you, though. Do you feel this way about, like, directors who retire and then they come back?
Right.
Actors who do that?
Mm-hmm.
And do you not go want to see their work?
I think it's a case-by-case basis.
It's actually Favreau.
And I hate it when Favreau did it.
Favreau, yeah.
I hate it when Favreau did it. It drives me nuts. I don't like inconsistency. I like commitment.
But they're artists. Aren't they allowed to go do solo? And then
exactly.
Like, what would you do right now if Beyonce was like, let's get Destiny's Child back together?
Everyone would freak the fuck out.
You'd be upset about it? You would be.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Either break up or don't.
You know why?
Okay, what if the.
Those girls just figured out how to live their lives without her. And now they have to go back into the studio with her and be completely overwhelmed by her, because you know she's not going to let Kelly Rowland get a solo.
John,
he's actually not wrong.
Here's where he's not wrong. Here's where he is wrong. They have still not figured out how to live without her. Okay.
Kelly was successful for a while afterwards.
No, totally. But are you guys watching The Masked Singer?
Oh, no.
Definitely not.
It's a question I don't say very often.
Nope. Yeah.
Alex, you're my best shot. No? All right. So, Cody, explain that choice to me. So you decided that was a stinker. Because
the show sucks, Roxy.
Oh! He's not wrong.
Yikes.
I would fart at that
John
show.
John Frusciante's my only friend.
Oh.
God, Cody.
Damn.
But Michelle Williams was on, not the actress, Destiny's Child Michelle, was on Masked Singer. And I went back and I've been watching... Dude, when she gets eliminated, the premise of the show, do you guys know what's up with the show?
Yeah.
When she gets eliminated from the show, the amount of love she has for being able to sing, she's like, people actually listen to me again. Like, it is. It's crushing.
Yeah.
Like, but poor Michelle. Like,
could you imagine the working with someone like Beyonce as, like, you're basically in a trio? No, you're a backup singer.
No,
for years and years and years.
But she wasn't.
She shouldn't be, because they're both very talented, Kelly and her. But
that's the thing.
But they got reduced.
At the beginning, Destiny Child was five women, managed by Beyonce's dad and mom.
Momager, yeah.
Right. Eventually.
You don't hear dad and mom often.
No, you don't.
It's typically mom and dad.
Eventually, the other two of the girls sued Destiny Child. They felt that they were focusing on Beyonce too much. And then they left the group. It was a big deal. Those other two that stayed, Michelle Williams, Kelly Rowland, they were dedicated to her. Dedicated to her. They put up with all that crap because she made herself the star.
Yeah.
And they rolled with it. I think Beyonce.
Rolling with it.
Oh, hello. I like.
Nailed it.
Dad jokes? Really? Okay. Yeah. I like Beyonce.
Hey, you got a ding.
I think Beyonce should be taking care of those ladies. However,
you don't think she is?
I don't know if she is.
You don't think the same thing happened with NSYNC and Justin Timberlake?
I think JT should be taking... But Joey Fatone went off and did his own thing. JC, I don't know what he's up to.
Because he's the best singer out of them all.
JC or Justin?
JC.
Yeah, I think I agree. Mm-hmm.
JC, man.
Look, I can talk about...
Where the hell is JC?
Not Chasse. Like Justin, and he's like even more the better singer than Justin Timberlake.
Let's check with the Backstreet Boys.
So
what's happening there?
They were Nagus residency for a while. Yeah.
They did a Doritos commercial.
They did.
Did you guys? Mm-hmm. Did you grow up into boy bands?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't grow up with
New Kids on the Block, but my friends did. But then I got into, you know, I know like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC hits, but I don't know all of the other stuff.
You know who should be in a boy band?
Who?
Camille Nanjiani.
Holy shit!
Nice segue.
Did you see that?
Nice.
Yo, thank you so much.
Happiest of Mondays.
Bye bye bye. Like whoa.
Yeah. No. What is that? How did he do that?
No. Cody and Alex, you must not know what's happening if this is the screen that we're looking at.
You saw it as well.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Okay.
So,
Kelly, can you handle this? Michelle, can you handle this? Beyonce, can you handle this?
Because none of us can handle this.
Because I cannot handle this. I mean, for those of you listening right now,
you've
got to switch over. I almost
just stood up to lick the screen.
At least look at Camille's Instagram because...
Damn.
This is such a transformation. I wish he did a before and after slide because, I guess I never knew what was under that shirt. You know,
here's
like, I don't know where he started.
But you didn't think it was that.
But I did not think that's what
it was. No, because that's, yeah. I mean, should we just.
All this time.
Should we just talk about this for the 2 hours of the show?
Here's what I just heard. And I tried to move on, but I can't. This is what John just said. Here's the problem.
I was joking. I was trying to mess with you.
Oh, I thought there was more to that sentence. I could not wait. No.
Look, you either be, you know,
either buff or you're not.
Or you don't. I'm like, what's this like going back and forth between being a regular guy and ripped?
You must hate Christian Bale then. Stick to one weight, Christian.
Why'd you get rid of that?
I don't know. I wanted it.
Before and after. There's one.
You definitely had a nerd bod before.
Yeah. Let's take a look at that.
You're like a mini dad bod.
Yeah. You know what? Oh, God.
Oh, good for you. You know what I really
Look at the veins on his biceps,
I know.
Man.
Here's what I like about his comment, though. Happen? He writes like that the only reason he was able to do this is because of money.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because I love
that
he's honest about it.
Because what he's saying is, dear fans, you guys cannot accomplish what I accomplished.
No.
Do not try this. Not in a mean way, but like, if you want to look like me, get richer.
Or
find somebody to pay for
your bod. Have a chef and a trainer and a facialist and a masseuse and whatever the hell J-Lo has to look like that.
All the food you have to buy to
And he had a year.
That?
He had a year to be training every day. Like, it's not realistic if you work a 9-to-5, let alone a 8-to-midnight.
It was
however many hours you're working a week to look like
people.
That.
It was literally his job to look like that. That's why he had to train every day. What did I just miss?
John's our comedic timing today.
What happened?
I tell people. That's why I can't look like that. I got a 9-to-6. You know, I got podcasts. I can't get in the gym and work out.
Do you guys think if we had, though, his trainer and chef and everybody and everything he has, we would be able to look like that? Because I don't.
Yeah, I definitely would.
We would be ripped.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
In the military, when I was 195. I look like that coming
out
of the military. 195.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Where are your shirtless pictures,
That's true.
John?
I should. Well, I wasn't one of those people that took those kinds.
You didn't take thirsty photos?
I have body dysmorphia. I think I look like John Goodman all the time. Like
Even
the old
though
John
you were
Goodman.
Ripped?
Yeah. Or John Candy, the old John Candy. I feel like I look that big all the time.
You just looked at Camille and said, I looked exactly like that. And then you just said
in the military,
you just said.
And I was 19 years old when I was 195.
I want to see pictures. You don't have any?
I'll come find some.
Good. I want to check it out. Yeah, I definitely think
the military does that.
I could look like that because have you ever had a trainer?
Yes, I have.
And do you look much better after like a month?
Yes, but I hate it.
Mm. Right, but you could do it.
Yes,
if you had
to.
If you, that's the other thing. Like,
it's rough.
He's literally not only are they paying for it, but he's getting paid to do
that. True. If I was getting paid to look that good, then that'd be cool.
For sure. And at some point, know when you're in better shape and it's actually not miserable to work out?
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened to you guys
where
like you run every day for a little bit and then like, I don't know, maybe after a month and a half of running every day on that, finally there's that day where it's like, oh, this actually doesn't suck dick.
Right. I mean, I'm never going to run. Like, that's just for... I'm not going to do that. What? But working out regularly.
What's up with your thumb?
What, were you looking at me for something like...
Do you like to work out?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't. It's not a big deal.
Mark,
it's not a big deal to you.
The nicest
It's not a big deal. It is a big... Like, when you... Look, after the new year, I got to do something. So,
but what's something, though?
It's at least work out. At least break a sweat.
Right.
At least eat better. because I'm just – I'm eating all the holiday foods.
Yeah, no, we
and
all
sitting
are.
Around going, Mark, you know what?
This is your
fuck
family
it.
In your head. You look great.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Roxy.
You look fine.
I'm
thank
telling you.
You.
It might be the Heroes and Villains shirts that we're wearing right now.
That's
it might
a really
be the bombers
good,
that
that's...
are making everybody look
I
so
mean,
good.
You are on point today.
Thank yeah. you so much.
So many good segues,
nice.
Roxy, today.
Heroes, Villains for the win, guys. Heroes and Villains. I'm like completely obsessed with the quality of their clothes.
Yeah.
So freaking soft. I want to see the back of it, but I got to tell you, you're blocked by a microphone.
Damn
it said
it.
Death, and then it went away. Death is not
defeat.
Defeat. Yes.
Klingons,
with that Klingon
baby.
Shirt. Yeah. These are pretty awesome, and if you guys want to be cool like us, make sure you go to heroesvillains.com. Also, because we love you so much, 10% off if you use the code LIVE10. And I know it's the holiday season right now, so you guys want to get these gifts by Christmas or by Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make sure that you get them in for your family, your friends, yourself, if you're buying yourself a present, which there's nothing wrong with that. I do it every single year. Make sure that you order them by today, because today is the cutoff, right, Mark?
Right, yep.
You got to get them in today.
To get it, yep, get them by the holidays. And today is the day.
There's also, it's Force Friday stuff, so there's badass Star Wars, Mandalorian stuff going on, short sleeves, long sleeve, all that great stuff. Again, LIVE10 is the code. Go to heroesvillains.com, 10% off. Order today so you get
you
it by the
buy,
holidays.
You got to buy. You got to buy. It's like that. What? It's like that Chimpokemon. Yeah.
It's like what?
South Park. You don't remember that episode of South Park where they're all making fun of Pokemon?
Cody remembers.
Cody's
what?
Like, what do you mean?
What?
What do you mean? Well, they're making fun of like people having to buy
this.
The Pokemon. It's a pretty good episode, Chimpokemon.
You
it
wanna
is.
Know what? I feel like I have no memory at all sometimes because of the amount of content that I watch.
Yeah.
I'm sure I saw it.
But how do you – because you're so good at interviewing people. How do you retain that information? But do you just throw everything away that's in your brain and keep just that one person's like resume? I don't understand how your brain works.
I guess curiosity and research, man. Like – it's not like there's the people who I have all of the stuff already on because I've just been such a massive fan. And then there's people I've been a fan of their work. And then you dive in deeper beforehand. My memory will span like a week.
Okay.
So
as long as I start now you know point, how your brain works.
Are you like Will Ferrell in old school? You're like, when it's done, you're like, where did all that come from? I don't even know.
Kind of. It spit it out. And then it's like, if you ask me about it a minute later, like, remember that question you asked about this? Nope. Nope. Speaking of interviews, Trisha Helfer coming on today.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, guys. This is huge. We have different fandoms we're coming
we
from,
do.
Though. Because, everybody knows hashtag Save Lucifer was started by me.
Right.
Right, John? You knew
I knew that right now.
Oh, I thought it was Rachel Harris.
I did it.
Okay, sorry.
And you guys are big Battlestar people.
Yes, we are. We are huge BSG nerds.
Yeah, so
really
excited
about
this one.
The best shows on TV ever.
If you guys have questions for her, then put them in the chat now. Put them in the chat throughout, and we'll try to make sure we get to some of those today. And a lot of other news, guys, going on. I feel like every Monday, the weekend was so kind to us. Mm. Like there's so much stuff that breaks over the weekend and so many different things that we see. We will be talking Watchmen,
so
of course.
Good shows we've seen, yes.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait to talk about that because I have seen some John Rokas on the internet, a.k.a. people who say, no.
What? About what?
Just about Watchmen,
like
about things everybody else likes. John
like
but you liked it,
By the way, you didn't mention her Hallmark Christmas movies, which I'm a big fan of Trisha Helfer.
Really?
So I'm a sick addict to Hallmark Christmas
movies.
Damn. What's your favorite Christmas movie that she's in?
What's the one? Operation Christmas. She's great in Operation Christmas.
Really? Yeah. So are you
do you watch with your lady?
She hates them.
What?
So no proposing.
You're the romantic comedy
that.
Fan in the household. Then.
Yeah, I am the romantic
she's
comedy.
She's not.
She is not. Although she did like Yesterday.
What's your favorite romantic comedy, John?
Oh, it's When Harry Met Sally. That's untouchable.
Yes.
That's untouchable.
It's pretty funny.
Right? I never thought of Yesterday as a rom-com, but I guess that's what it is.
It is.
I like that movie.
Last Christmas, by the way, Roxy crossed $100 million over the weekend. $100 million worldwide on a $13 million budget.
An argument I never use. And what is it at Rotten Tomatoes right now?
Oh, well, you Scrooges.
Although that doesn't mean it's good because Transformers. So.
Genuine question, Cody and Alex. Last Christmas, Rotten Tomatoes.
I'll tell you that one.
Oh.
I want to see what this is.
Do you want to go away from his abs?
I honestly don't want to go away from his
abs. Can you
abs,
just leave it there the whole show?
Oh, the Big Sick is a good one.
We can make it our desktop wallpaper.
Yay. Yeah. Oh, great idea, Cody.
Oh, my God. All right,
so
Alex, let's look at that score.
Yeah,
so
look
good.
At that. That but even the chest hair is perfect.
Could I have a real...
81% on that fan.
I see a 47 over there with
the
people
judge
that
those
you,
bitter critics.
Do you call yourself a critic?
I have to.
Ooh.
I have to. But
nailed
I also know what's wrong with my group of critics.
Yeah, that movie was...
Woof.
Was woof? It was. Is that what you were going to say? I was going back and forth between garbage, woof, a lot of different things. But then garbage. I feel bad because I think the people in it are really great.
Yeah.
Well, just the movie. There's itself. Still a lot of movies where the cast and crew is great and the movie's just not as good.
The movie itself. A movie I think that we all believe has the potential to be great. Top Gun, guys.
Yes. Hey.
Yo, this Top Gun 2 trailer dropped. Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun ready to blow our socks off, whatever you want to call it. So impressive. So impressive to me. Oh, that's why you did that. I was wondering why you had multiple glasses on the table. John Roca, ready for this conversation. Initial thoughts on the trailer. Dorina, how are you feeling?
Highway to the Danger Zone. Sorry. I just love the song, and I saw it played live by Kenny Loggins at the Hollywood Bowl, and we all freaked out. It was really, really good times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I do not care about Top Gun usually, except for the music, honestly, and that's how they keep manipulating me with these trailers, with the awesome music, so that kind of pisses me off, but I'm going to go see it. I mean, I like the original. I just hope that they keep all of the homoerotic stuff.
I got to say, I don't like your take on this.
Oh, on the table.
Because you loved it so much?
Yeah. Mark Reilly, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I love this trailer. I love the first trailer. I love this trailer. I didn't know that they could surprise me with a Top Gun Maverick movie. Mm. Because when they said they were going back to it, I was like, yeah, I want to see it. But where are we at with, you know, I know there's a... The Air Force has changed. The Navy has changed. So I hope that they're going to, and it looks like they're going to delve into that, and I can't wait. And I love it. Has all the hallmarks of a Top Gun. There is what I think is the callback to the volleyball scene.
Yes.
With the football scene. Men's shirts are off. People are, you know, everybody's going crazy with that. Mm-hmm. And then we have
is
all
Camille
the aerial
Nanjiani
stuff.
Is Camille Nanjiani in that scene?
He should be.
He should be in every scene now where there's shirtless people.
For the future of movies, when a man takes his shirt off, they're just going to superimpose that shirt that on them.
Damn.
It's pretty damn good. But, yeah,
and Henry Cavill's mustache. Yeah.
John, talk to me.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to tell me how you feel
did
about
you
the trailer.
Did you
under the danger
trailer.
Zone or what?
Yeah.
Were you
I have
to
had
the
an erection for the last 4 hours because of that damn trailer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
6 a.m. Yeah. Deal with it, Cody. Show me your ass, Cody. I've been watching that trailer since 6 a.m. this morning and over and over and over again because I tell you, it isn't just a fun trip, nostalgia trip back to the 80s. This looks like an actually badass movie.
Yeah. It really actually looks
good. Which
is
what you wanted,
yeah.
Right? And let me give you a
I'll
clue.
Get off of its jockstrap. You didn't even like it.
I did like it. I just wasn't like, holy shit. Like, guys, I grew up, I did not grow up in this country. I just don't get excited about movies.
They don't have jets in Mexico.
I just don't care.
There's no jets in Mexico.
Right.
Exactly.
There's no fighter jets.
I was like, I don't even know if that's real.
Mexican airport.
We don't have those planes.
I don't know.
You love alien movies and like Dracula
and stuff. Yeah, because that shit's
real. Good point.
Yeah, because El Diablo is in Mexico.
That's right. And in space.
But that's where he lives.
All over the place. What are we talking
but
about
the,
right now?
The nostalgia of it all. But, like, let me tell you, because I'm all younger. Well, I'm younger than most of you. I am younger than him. I'm older than him, rather. But, like,
what?
I remember
what
when the trailer.
What was that sentence? What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say. I remember when the original trailer came out, and the same things that sold us on the movie when we were kids or teenagers watching in the movie, watching that trailer in the theaters back in the 80s, are the same things that's selling you now. It's the fight sequences, the dog fighting stuff, the jets. All of that is badass. Then you throw in the fact that Maverick is still a rebel. Yeah. Maverick, I never thought I'd be asked back. They're called orders, Maverick. Ooh, yes! Bring
that's
it
a
to
great,
me!
But
that's
is
a great
this
line.
Like your dream?
It's a great line.
Is this your dream reboot specifically because of Tom Cruise?
I haven't seen Iceman yet.
Right.
And Iceman's in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And I imagine Iceman's in that casket. So I'm going to get something. But I wish Val Kilmer didn't have that throat cancer. I wish Val Kilmer was still 100% to have them have a back and forth again. 30 years later or 40 years later.
And do his clenching of the teeth scene. You got to do that.
Man.
Also,
for
by
somebody
the way,
who doesn't like it, you seem to have a lot of thoughts on
it. A lot of knowledge on the original Top Gun.
No, I like it. I didn't love it. What am I supposed to do? What do you want from me, Roxy?
Love it.
Exactly.
You need to scream and yell.
You want me to get more excited?
Yeah.
Let me ask the three of you something. You saw the trailer. You see Jennifer Connelly is at that funeral wearing black.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Is she Iceman's ex-wife or widow? Or is she Iceman's sister?
Oh.
But what does that have to do with her wearing black? Anybody who goes to a funeral wears black.
Yeah, but why is she there? Who is she?
Yeah.
Tom and her have a relationship.
I just meant the color.
To our listeners, there is an important poll going on at our Collider Live Twitter. What should Roka do about his now 4-hour erection? Go to the doctor or watch Top Gun 2 trailer? Please vote.
I don't think watching the Top Gun 2 trailer is going to help the erection.
No, it's not.
I mean, it should say turn off Top Gun 2 trailer.
Yeah, if you want to sustain it, keep watching that trailer, buddy.
Somebody in the chat did say, I think it was Mark Balam that said, a damn Viagra.
Damn. Yo, here's the thing. Rewinding back, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I think Cody, it was the two of us who were like, we do not care about this movie coming out in any way. Uh-huh. Cody, did you say that with me?
No.
Was it? we were asked if we cared about this, and it was like, no.
About
not,
Top Gun?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I was about to punch through the wall and grab it.
Somebody rewind the tape. I remember I said, and Cody, but I told you that I can't remember anything past a week, I could have made this all
but
up.
But have you changed your mind?
So this trailer to me was like, okay, I'm actually ready for this. Nice. This is something I really want, which is exactly what trailers are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to be for the diehard super fans who would go see it anyway. It's supposed to be for the people who are on the fence about whether or not that they think that this is going to be a good movie or they want to see it. And that was me. I was kind of like, I'll see it because of my job, but who knows if I'm actually interested in this. And now I'm like, wow, that was fire. Nice. This trailer was so good. I listened to it in my car after I watched in my house. I've also seen it a couple times. My erection's doing a little better than yours,
oh,
but
that's good.
You know,
and
listening to it with like the sound in my car, which is my version of surround sound.
Did you drive faster because of it?
No, I wasn't driving.
Oh,
I was watching it.
Oh, you were watching.
You know,
watching,
I'm not a very
listening.
Good driver.
Okay.
I can't.
I thought you were listening to it. Okay. Okay.
Whoa.
Okay. Like,
who are you trying to kill right now? I'm definitely not watching anything while I'm driving anymore. Jeez. This is playing, though, and I'm just like doing the head thing. Totally doing the head.
So, Roxy, what was it that got you around to this one? Like, is it some of the aerial stunts? Some Norris story?
The timing of it was so great. Like,
like really well edited, you
mean? Yeah, it was well edited, but like just certain lines and like. Yeah, the aerial stuff and just badassery going through. He's so good. It's impossible not to like him, which is challenging.
He's a star.
He is one of the last official movie stars and probably that there ever will be.
He's a nice guy too, apparently.
He really
a
is.
A lot of people say
I've heard that too. The Scientology thing, I know I'm not supposed to bring it up, but like
Elizabeth Moss gets away with it.
I say the same thing about her every time I mention her.
I thought he
Handmaid's Tale is like my favorite.
According to a bunch of the magazines at Ralph's when I'm checking out, he has left Scientology. This is like
I don't think so.
The Inquirer and
it
you know.
It is what it is.
But why is that Scientology weird? But like then the I just kind of group them with the other religions. Why is
because
this
of how
one
they
weirder?
Treat women?
What? Yeah, but other religions treat people.
I have a problem
really
with.
Badly too.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I mean, but it's all religions. It's not just Scientology.
I don't think all religions treat women like that.
Well, no, I mean, all religions can, is my point. Like it's just a matter of like what the person that is religious is choosing to do with their beliefs, right?
No,
it's not so much
based
religion,
on
it's
your
the person.
Religion is different.
Right.
Based on your religion is different. That's what I think. I mean,
that's a good thing. I like that cast. Can I ask a question?
Like?
I know this is y'all's show, but can I ask a question?
Of course.
Oh.
You can always ask a question, Roka.
Top
Gun. Why do you say it like that? Like we don't make it. You're on the show.
No, it's out of respect. It's not out of anything. Alex?
What's up?
It's opening up against your In the Heights.
Oh!
Oh!
What are we going to do now,
okay,
son?
X-Pac.
What are we going to do now?
I'm going to watch In the Heights.
You son of a bee. I'm
going to
take
you. I mean,
you are my official plus one for Top Gun, Alex.
Oh. No, just take me now.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. No, yeah, I'll take you, Riley.
Wait, why did you think of, really quick, though, Roka, about Miles Teller? Because I feel like he injected himself with, like, Anthony Edwards' DNA.
Yeah,
like, what is that
I like
about?
He
looks
sweat.
Like
so
Goose's
sweaty.
Son.
The mustache should have its own Twitter account.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a proper use of a mustache.
I wonder if movie mustaches should have a Twitter account, and it should be obviously a picture of Henry Cavill.
Definitely.
And then after that, all the other mustaches to come.
Kenneth Branagh's in Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah. Shared universe of
mustaches.
There's
some pretty good ones. Wow, we should do a ranking of mustaches on this show.
I like that.
I mean, Magnum PI wins, FYI. Okay.
But you're going TV?
Tom Selleck has the best mustache we've ever seen. Is there anybody better?
I agree, obviously.
What do you
Sam
say?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Okay. But then I, for some reason, I went to Three Men and a Baby and still rocking that mustache.
Still Tom Selleck.
Sam Elliott. So,
Sam Elliott's a good mustache to beat. Damn. Ooh. Ron Swanson, man.
Oh, Swanson's a mustache.
Damn. All the mustaches.
Oh, yeah, the Tombstone mustaches.
Michael Biehn's mustache in The Abyss.
Well, we must dash into a break right now.
Just amazing
really
segues
good.
Today, Roxy. You are on a roll.
Thank you so much. When we come back, we'll definitely be talking Watchmen. Don't worry, we're going to do non-spoiler, and then we will do spoiler. We'll let you guys know. Also, we got some Power Ranger stuff happening, and then Trisha Helfer, as I said, coming at the last half hour. We'll see you guys after this break.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Dory.
Boom! Boom, 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 boom!
Dead end.
Horseman!
I love the movies.
Jack.
What a twist.
Sit down! Sit down! Sit down!
Want some cookies? Want a glass of milk?
Make it big. Make it big. Make it big. And we'll watch it. Make it big. Make it big. And we'll watch it.
I'm bummed because a little behind this scenes thing, when they want to tell me we're live, they put the Collider Live thing up, but I wanted to keep looking at Camille, so there
we go. Is that
how
you say it?
Just start putting that up.
Camille Nanjiani?
Camille? Or Camille? How do you say his name?
Camille
name?
Nanjiani. Camille? I believe so. Am I
blurring
it? I don't know. Camille. I thought it was Camille Nanjiani, but
Camille?
Camille.
I just read, as you know, stuff in Spanish. I'm like, Camille.
I don't know. No. Things are hard for you to pronounce, and things are hard for me to pronounce. Because Boston. Like,
because of the
I grew up
thing,
with so
right,
many. Though. Oh, well, nodules. But Boston, like, oh, my God. There's so many words that I say that people are like, what?
Right.
Yeah. I've tried to kick. I've lived here for 10 years, and I still haven't kicked them.
Is it the A-E sound more so?
What's the E part?
No, like the A, like.
Well, if he's saying it's, I say Camille. And you're saying it's Camille.
Camille.
I think it's Camille.
Camille. Camille.
Because the AI is.
Does it matter, though, what his name is?
If I try to do
Camille.
If I try to do eh, it's
you can see the pronunciation right there across the chest. Camille.
I see it
now.
I'll
pronounce it however he wants me to.
Do you guys think, real question, do you guys think he put on some kind of oil for this picture?
Oh, of course, for this
picture.
It was
all lighted. This is a professional.
Yeah, I mean, he got a spray tan. You know, it's like a whole makeup.
Somebody can just take this while you're sitting at the gym.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that we have, like the abs,
No, I don't. I wouldn't know. I've never seen mine.
What?
So I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, like under whatever you got
going on. You mean they're
there,
but
like something.
I
was gonna say we have like pox. Like they're like little sections of them. Like why do we have that? What did evolution
Nature.
Do that?
Nature.
I guess, man.
They look so nice.
And, like, isn't it weird
we
that I think that I think having like. Squares on you is sexy.
Right.
Why do we think that?
Nobody knows. It looks really nice. I don't know why.
John Rucker feels me.
Quite the conversation
it's
started there.
See,
but
not
it's,
all
it's because
same.
You see the muscles in the skeleton part more. Yeah. That's hot to me.
Well, look, is it? Oh.
Look at through our life in sculpture, right? We've seen like David.
Exactly.
They have those. But not all abs are similar. Like his are off center, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So some abs are like straight lined. Mm-hmm. Some abs are off center. Just depends on how you.
Well,
body's
they're
built.
All beautiful and lickable.
Absolutely. All, yeah. All whoa.
Lickable.
All right.
All right.
Fair.
Fucking do it, man.
Fair. Yeah.
Okay. Licking his abs. In my
like if
body.
An alien, a xenomorph had abs, you would lick the abs.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not
Drina,
really
probably.
Into fucking xenomorphs, but
why not?
Really?
I mean,
I
feel like that would be.
Isn't
right
that more like bestiality?
You like jump to fucking. I just
that's
said
what
lick
I
the
don't.
Abs.
Or does it count bestiality if you're in space?
I truly don't know. I've asked this question many a times because, like, I'm not gonna fuck an animal, obviously.
Right.
But if there was an alien, I think I might.
Right. So are they an
I don't know.
Animal
Kirk
or are they
was not into bestiality. Kirk
was
banging ladies of different species. It doesn't make him into bestiality.
Speciality.
Yeah, but at the...
He's not a species.
At the time, I don't know, man. Like, if something came down
what
and looked like any of... Like, even if they looked like anything happening on Mandalorian or any of the things that we've seen, that, like, it's still not a human, so is it...
Well, on this
can
very
you
show, Roxy, you did
no,
ask.
I would.
And in this very show, I think you did ask if you would fuck adult Yoda. So
I did ask that.
And
and I said yes.
What about aliens like Starman that take
you go,
on.
So you would fuck a xenomorph.
That they take on the image of a man like in Starman. Mm. Would you
well, okay.
Would you be Karen Allen and bang that alien?
I'm also wondering about shapeshifters. It's like a whole different thing because like if you can look one way but then you shape it. Also,
you can change it up.
Probably.
You'd bang a Klingon.
At this point, you guys know I would bang a lot of.
Oh,
the Klingon walked into your room.
Here comes Jay Washington bursting through the door. What was that?
I tweeted about this weekend, but you guys know what's going on with the penis fish, right?
Yes.
I still don't know
what
why we didn't go with the title for that, but
y'all know what's up with the penis fish.
Mm-hmm. Also, FYI, I love pork and chicken, saying it's not bestiality if they are sentient, in my opinion.
Oh,
which
okay.
makes sense.
Right.
So
that's
there you go.
That's a good
go.
Point.
Mm,
so
but
back
how
to
do we know something's
penis.
Not like controlling their mind? We don't know. Yeah, so these penis fishes washed up in California.
Yeah.
There was like hundreds of them.
I'd never seen one before.
I've still never seen one in person.
Yeah.
Getting more and more curious every
Definitely.
Day. They
just want to see how it feels and when you hold it.
But I was more curious before I watched it move. Have you guys been watching these videos?
Oh, yeah.
You see what it does?
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting.
Ooh, I want to see.
But I tweeted out asking, this was a legitimate question. I didn't mean it as a joke. I honestly wanted to know if we thought as a society that anybody's ever banged a penis fish. like taken a penis fish and tried to put it in your one of
whichever
your holes.
Hole.
Yeah.
Right.
And I've got to tell you guys, it was a resounding yes.
Right.
Like it, I don't know what I don't know what this says about my followers or what this says about our world, but everybody wrote back being like, absolutely, somebody has tried to do this. Absolutely. Just quick poll in here. John, what do you think? Somebody's tried it?
Humans are disgusting. Someone's tried it.
Do you think it worked?
Did it stay hard like that?
Yeah.
It worked.
You didn't think it? Like, what? How does it move, though? Is there a video that we can see? Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Let's get Tom on the phone. What do you think, Mark?
I think in the history of the human race, yeah, I think somebody probably had some fun with the penis fish.
Drina?
I for sure. Somebody sent it.
What if you? If, so say we're. Like,
if you find that in like you're in like back in the day, like
caveman,
like, caveman
time. That's what
times,
I'm thinking about.
Like, why wouldn't you?
But why would you?
Because it's better. It's easier to control than like a person. You don't have to deal with the
is
drama
it? Have
afterwards.
You seen
if I may, I'd like to quote the great Dorina Arellano, who said,
ooh.
"Try everything. You should experiment with everything in bed." So I fear a penis fish is an experiment in bed.
And don't knock it till you try it.
Exactly.
Right? Though my only thing is like if the fish penis knows it's consensual, right? Like that would be nice.
I wonder.
Otherwise,
if,
like,
you have to ask the penis fish.
Yeah.
Imagine if it hated being inside you. Like it's got a brain. It's like, get me out of here.
What if it turns into? What if it mutates into a whole other animal inside your hole?
Oh,
that'd be amazing. Because okay. You guys have seen Blue Planet,
I know,
right?
Yeah. I know I brought this up, but I'm done with it. Speaking of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I kind of jumped off, too. Yeah, so, oh, here's my stop.
Speaking of really weird dongs, let's talk Watchmen.
Yay! Speaking of blue dongs.
Perfect.
Real question for you guys. Are we seeing Yahya Abdul-Mateen's penis?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
I definitely rewound.
You've seen it twice now.
So yeah. it is his.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it is.
Pretty sure because he's you see the whole thing.
Oh, I just don't know if it's like a CG situation.
I hope not.
It's a strong cock.
Especially after HBO showing so many boobies with Game of Thrones. Like, yeah, finally we get to see like a pretty dick that doesn't have a wart on it.
How's it blue?
How's what?
How's it blue?
How's it blue?
How is it blue?
His whole body's blue.
Yeah, but how is it blue?
What do you mean? How is it feel blue?
No, like is the CG? Are they painting? Like how is it blue?
I'm sure it's painted.
Oh, how is it blue?
Yeah,
why
are maybe
you
it's body paint.
Is it blue?
I thought we were doing like Blue's Clues or something right now. I was like, what are you saying?
How is it?
I thought you were talking about blowing. That's why I was confused.
Yeah. How is it blue?
How is it blue?
How
well,
is it blue?
It's probably spray paint or something.
Oh, damn. All right, let's do a non spoiler review of the finale, guys, because it aired and this is possibly the last episode of Watchmen that we ever
get.
I know.
We have not been picked up for a season two yet. There's been a lot of talk from Lindelof saying that he actually would not come back for a season two. Who knows if that sticks or not. But as of now, this is the last planned, scheduled Watchmen live action TV show episode ever. Mm. Wild. Initial thoughts, John, on this finale, non-spoiler.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. You know, you worry about a show sticking the landing, as everyone's been saying it, especially with Lindelof involved, considering loss, considering other things have gone down. And I think he killed it here. Mm-hmm. And I think all the actors killed it here. I thought every question you could possibly have about this show got answered. And with all the sadness and the bitterness and the racism and the white supremacy and all this sadness and, you know, hiding identities and all this kind of stuff at the end, it ends on a hopeful note and an earned hopeful note, which other shows could get vilified for. But this show earned its hopefulness by the end because of the ballsiness or the gutsiness, rather, with which they tackled these issues head on.
Mm-hmm. Mark Riley.
I couldn't agree more, man. Yeah, yeah. I loved every second of this finale and just the whole series. You said it, Roka. It felt like the end. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about season two, but it felt like that was the story. That
so if
they
we
had
don't
a story.
Get a season two, you're happy.
I don't know. I love this series. This is one of my favorite series now, I think, of all time. Mm. Might be jumping in the top 10. For now, I'm going to revisit. But if I didn't get one, I would be okay knowing that I could go back and enjoy this series, the 8 episodes.
Nine.
Would I want one? No, is it nine? Nine.
Nine.
So
or eight? Nine.
Would I want one? Yeah. I would love to see where they go if they could if there's more story to tell. But that's I absolutely want Damon Lindelof back.
Yeah.
Dorina. I think he's the key to that.
What do you think?
You guys know that I'm a snob about this shit usually when it comes to superhero TV, because my favorite up until now has been probably Legion, Daredevil, and Jessica Jones. Out of any like superhero, anything we yeah. watch on TV, this has surpassed them. Mm-hmm. Visually, Legion is still stunning to me, but I am so impressed with what they've done here because – and you mentioned it and you touched upon it, Roka, with the fact that – Your most shows, when they try to do a series or a season finale, I feel like they kind of take the easy route and to not only to answer basically every question that we've had so perfectly, but then every question that they left open to the audience were all more like philosophical questions. And that's why it ended in such a beautiful note of hope. That whole storyline with Dr. Manhattan and Angela, like I felt like such a sappy person. I was crying. It was embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, super embarrassing. The one of the best scores ever on TV, I think. Atticus and Trent obviously did an amazing job. I do not want another season. I think the show is perfect, as it should be. I think it should end. I love the last scene. I think where it's kind of like an open-ended question. I think it did a fantastic job. I don't want any more, and it completely surpassed any other TV show this year for me.
Cody Hall, thoughts on non-spoiler Watchmen finale?
Oh, it was so sad when it ended. This show had no business being as good as it was, and I'm just so glad they stuck the landing. It's one of my favorite 9 weeks of television I've ever had. Just all the theorizing, speculation, and it totally paid off at the end. Mm-hmm. Great show.
Alex?
I agree with all that. Back up that Brinks truck. Give me that season two, baby.
Dorian?
Good question.
Yeah. Alex, don't fail!
Come on, Alex.
You guys, I really love the show.
What's up, guys? It's your boy, Dorian.
Wow.
I mean, it's so good.
Wow.
You're
really
nailing
good.
That. Yeah.
So let's get into some spoilers, guys. So if you do not want to hear spoilers for Watchmen, the first season, Impossible Only season, episode 9, the finale, then tune out now for the next five minutes.
Sure.
I'll frantically wave when we're done. Okay.
I'll wave.
If you're listening, I'll try to wave loudly. Dorina will
wave and
wave.
Make it sound like something.
So let's get right into this, guys. Spoiler review of Watchmen. All right, this finale. What was the part that stuck out to you guys the most? Who is the character? What is the storyline that you really wanted to dive into today?
For me, honestly, the Angela thing really quick, I think is incredible that somebody posted the actual poster of her, right? Like where she's kind of leaning to the side and she's blue.
Yep.
And I thought that was crazy. Like that there's so many things, not just in the show's marketing, but the show itself, where they're totally hinting us as to what's going to happen. Mm. So the show wasn't so much about Law in the style of Law that you can guess what's going to happen because the show's telling you. It's more so of how it's constructed, right? And all the philosophical and existential questions that it poses.
I couldn't believe how little I picked up on.
Right.
Like how little I predicted, especially with all the egg stuff.
Right.
Still being as surprised as I was because I'm one of those people who watches TV and is forever guessing. Mm. I watch so much television. I pride myself and also get frustrated by the fact that I 9 out of 10 times know what's happening next.
Right.
I did not know. I did not see any of this coming. My predictions were all wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that they did that in such a great way because it wasn't like twist for twist's sake. Right. It was twist because it made sense and reveals that worked. So I agree. The Angela stuff, they had like 50 different things that let us know what was going to happen, and I still didn't know.
And I'm glad you brought up the egg thing because I was reading an interview with Lindelof that he basically had this whole idea where the eggs now are the symbol of like in the original comics, obviously we had like the smiley face, right? Yeah. And so in that first episode we see you had a smiley face with eggs, if you guys remember.
Yeah.
And so that's even like there. That's how well crafted and thought it out in advance with the detail with this freaking show, man, because they're thinking about switching. Okay, now we've shown our audience that this is Watchmen and we have our own motifs that we picked up and we've transformed for our own show. Like, that's fucking awesome. And it's just little details everywhere.
Yeah, and it was beautiful. To your point, Roxy, what stuck with me, it's that the ending with Dr. Manhattan saying, I need you here with me. Like, he didn't want to be alone.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I hate this homie.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't.
It was gorgeous.
I hate him.
I hate
him. Pull the heartstrings, huh?
Well, because everybody's saying he has no choice.
He has a choice.
He has a choice to die by himself. And I get him not wanting to, but we can't then just make excuses for him.
But if you were him, though, wouldn't you be scared to die alone, too?
It's not that I wouldn't be. It's that I would protect the people that I love.
So you would actually...
I would send her away, 100%. I would not have been with her in the first place.
Right. But so you know
that's
what I
what
got from
is.
It? That I,
that's,
but I think I he agree. Knew. He always knew he was... At least this is for me. He always knew he was going to die. And he was going to face that at some point. And maybe he knew that she would be okay. And that's why he wanted her there.
But he can't see past being dead. So how's he know? Right?
Unless
he can.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
What do you think, John?
I understand your anger.
Thank you.
But that being said, I think I agree with Riley. I think Manhattan knew she had to be there more. And he said what he had to say to her, which is, I don't want to die alone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He knows that will affect her and move her to stay there. And then he knows Adrian Veidt's going to do what he's going to do and drop those things. Mm-hmm. He knows all of that's coming. Mm-hmm. But he knows that if he's going to pass this gift on to someone who, like they said, anybody who wants that power shouldn't have that power.
Right.
Angela
I love
doesn't
that.
Want that power.
Yeah, but you're calling it a gift. Is that what it is?
I think it is.
I think it's an absolute
and like all gift.
Gifts,
they're a blessing and a curse.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great
gift.
I mean,
gift. He has to give it to someone.
Right.
Like, who's he going to give it to?
He doesn't
to,
want to
right?
give
it
to Lady
like,
True.
What would you do? Exactly.
Exactly. And so I think he – having her there, having her witness the horror of the seventh cavalry, the
right.
horror of Lady True, the horror of all this, it is a lesson for her. So that when she drinks the egg, mm-hmm. she understands the mantle and the power that she is taking on and what to do with it.
And she understands it better than any other
than
character
and
that
being,
he would give it to.
Exactly.
Her
and being there right. is essential.
Can we break down the 7th Cavalry for a second? Because I've heard different thoughts and theories on what happened to them.
Okay.
Right, do you guys feel sure that you know what happened to the 7th Cavalry?
They you mean
died.
Whether
they died?
Yeah. Do you think that they were like beamed somewhere else,
that's,
like teleported?
That's one of the
dimension?
Theories that people are saying
okay.
that they didn't obliterate them; they moved them.
That's interesting. I got that they were obliterated.
Is it because Laurie and Adrian and them got beamed? Because that was via Dr. Manhattan, not.
There's just true. Theories about it because like what somebody would do or what Dr. Manhattan was capable right. of doing or stepping in that situation. Also him having that life or death like fight or flight thing inside him.
Right.
If he was capable or anybody's capable of making not just dissolve but transferring them somewhere else.
Right.
I believe also that they are kaput.
Yeah.
But I thought that when I saw the episode, there was no question in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the internet and saw a lot of people saying, they're alive, they're somewhere else.
And I think maybe that might go into people's wishing a
for
season
a second
two.
Season.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe that's wishful thinking that there is going to be something revealed if we do get a season two. They do certainly leave it open, especially with that ambiguous
right.
ending.
Perfect ending.
That I loved.
Really good.
That I loved, love, love.
Oh, it's like it was one of the most satisfying things I've ever seen on television. Where when she takes that step, and I was like, I bet you they're going to cut right
I
now
exactly.
into black,
cut.
And
Don't
I was like, oh, they
doing
did
the
it.
Inception
it was
ending.
Perfect.
It was the first and only thing I've ever predicted. I was like,
yeah.
How confident are you guys that she walks on water?
I think she does.
Yeah,
I think she's supposed, especially with
know.
That poster
like
theory that people were talking about, like where she's already blue and she mm-hmm. and it's hinted at that.
If she eats the egg and is able to walk on water, do you guys think that Dr. Manhattan somehow does know that she ends up okay because he lives inside her? So that's how he knew.
Yeah. That's certainly
I
possible.
Think so.
Mm-hmm. I also think, let me throw something else out there. Remember that her daughter sees that she is mm-hmm. Lady Knight. Was it mm-hmm. Lady Knight or whatever her character?
Yeah. Sister, yeah.
Sister Knight. Sorry,
Sister
Knight.
Knight.
Yep. So it's mantle passing.
Right.
Both those moments are mantle passing. Mm-hmm. Her taking the egg to be Manhattan, her daughter will take on Sister Knight after.
Wasn't
her.
It her son that saw it?
Or her son. I'm sorry. Her son saw it. Right.
I think so. That's yeah. I believe so.
So he'll step into the mantle and meet Brother Knight or something like that.
Right,
so
right.
I have only seen this episode once as Same. Of this point, and I will say that I definitely need to check it out again.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
In other episodes, I have watched them multiple times, but I didn't feel like – I felt like we had one core focus because we had to tie so many strings at this. I was like still dealing with some of my emotions from one scene, and then we were already halfway through the next scene, and I was like, crap.
Wait. And just little details like the whole Adrian thing where he writes, save me, but then it becomes save me, daughter, right? Like there's just all these things that they had planned out in advance, obviously, for it to work. I guess the thing that for me, because of my taste in movies and messages in general, like and TV, I love the fact that you have all of these characters like the Lady Tro who thinks she's doing something good for humanity, but at the same time she's narcissistic enough to be like, no, but I want – like my dad, you know, to be remembered as for what I've done for humanity, right? Where then you have characters like the mass people, like an Angela, that don't want to be known for that, right? But they are trying to deal with their own anger to help people, right? It's just such a well executed story that reflects I think what the meaning of the original Watchmen graphic novel so well.
Even the realistic moment when Francis Fisher is like, "Just kill us. We don't want to hear
exactly."
Your That's exactly. Loved what that. Would happen. That's exactly what would happen. White supremacists would be like, screw it. You got us. Go and kill us. What do we care?
Exactly. Like, she's got to kill us, right? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I love that she read the reasons, right? Yes. Another show might not read the reasons. That's that's the hallmark of this show. Yeah. They have no fear of walking into that and stating what is actually happening here and letting you deal with it. And I want to say one last thing. That conversation between Louis Gossett Jr. and Angela in the theater, fuck, man.
It's beautiful.
That was fantastic.
So good.
If you generationally – the conversation they're having as black people and then generationally the conversation they're having as a grandfather or a father to the daughter or grandfather to the daughter, all of that. There's so much here that they're working on.
Yes.
So many levels, both societally and politically and emotionally, all of it. Just
and that's the thing that, look, I rarely talk about how we need, you know, I'm not tweeting all the time. They're like, we need diversity all the time. And like, I try not to do that because I think that, I think it's important to talk about it, but I think it's talked about it too much where it's like, okay, I get it. Let's do it. But this show specifically, it's so important that they had black writers.
Yeah.
Because nobody else knows what that group
Fair
went
point.
Through.
Also, four of the five directors, four of the episodes of the nine episodes, excuse me, were directed by women.
Yep.
Most of the episodes were co-written by women. So a lot of different strides moving forward, especially because I know HBO has been scrutinized in the past for this with Game of Thrones. So there's a big point of contention not having women in the writer's room.
So if you go woke, you don't go broke. Oh, wow. What a fascinating thing.
Yeah. The problem is overly woke. It's like a whole other thing.
Well,
I felt like this show – I'm currently writing an article about it that will have more on this. But it's a shame that Alan Moore won't watch because I actually think that he would love it. It is so true. It's so true to what he initially was trying to do.
Rip.
That.
Yeah, no, I agree. I said, yep.
Oh, I said rip.
Yeah,
I was like, what does that mean?
Whoa.
That I just think if he could put aside the fact that he never wanted it touched again, he would actually really appreciate that it had been touched again.
Well, especially with, you guys saw his video from last week, right?
No,
because he never comes out and does anything public. And he actually filmed a short video in order to encourage people in the UK to vote because, unfortunately, it didn't go the way, a lot of people wanted. But he was encouraging people. He was saying –
Encouraging people to vote?
Yeah. He was saying, I am an anarchist, but I think we need to vote here because he's scared that we're going to lose our democracy, basically.
I thought you were talking about the Globes.
No. Yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah. That's my little Hollywood world.
I don't think Alan Moore gives a shit about award shows.
I was like, no way.
No, we're talking about the big UK vote last week.
If we don't get a second season, then the show becomes like the graphic novel.
Yep.
Pass the show on to people and you say, you got to watch this show.
If we do go to a second season, do you guys want this to be Regina King as Dr. Manhattan season two?
Sure.
I think there's a lot to explore with that.
Female Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
So much.
That's what gets me. That's the hook for me. But I could see why. Yep, you'll miss the dong. There's flashbacks we can get.
Or
you
can get a blue clitoris. There you go.
Yeah. Blue clitoris. Yeah. Hey, that's a new one we should put in here. That should be a deep thought.
For some reason, that burned when you said it. Like, it sounds like a venereal disease. Oh, she's got that blue clitoris.
Yeah, it does sound like something you need some penicillin for.
Yeah, get it gone. But. Sorry, Mark. Continue.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyways, about the blue clitoris. There's something there to go to some of the talking about like how it was set up. You know, I keep going back to when he was revealed as Dr. Manhattan. He said, "You have to see me walk on water." That was like something that was so important for him to show her.
Yeah,
so
she's
that,
like, get off my pool.
Right, which was so hysterical in the moment. So that makes me absolutely believe that she walks on water before we – after we cut. You know, we're not seeing it. But she walks on water, and the implication of that is the next season will be her adjusting to being a Dr. Manhattan, which I think is a fascinating thing to go into in as a character to see what it's like, because I also love the idea of, like, you do not want to need this power, crave this power. A narcissist shouldn't have this power. Dr. Manhattan was gifted with this, like fate, and she's actually trying to change the course and make it happen. So the implications of that are fascinating to me, that you can explore in season two, especially with Regina King's character.
Especially with their conversation they had when they were the flirting a couple episodes ago, when they were flirting at the table, all the questions she had about it, about his power. Those now are
at the bar.
Her.
Are you talking about?
The bar. Yeah. Those are now back on her when she becomes Dr. Manhattan. Can she answer those questions for herself as a Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah. What does she do with that power? It's fascinating.
The thing that I think is funniest about this finale, because as somebody who watched Leftovers and Lost, and you wonder, what about that smoke monster? Where did 2% of the population go? 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. Like, what is happening here? The question after this show seems to be Lube Man? Question mark.
Right. Yeah.
Like, everyone on Twitter last night that I was seeing was Lube Man. And I heard that Watchmen's website actually put up a little additional information on him. I didn't actually check it out yet, but that they wanted us to have a little Lube Man resolution. So thank you to them for caring about Lube Man.
I think it was that agent, right? Like Dale something. I forget his name.
Yeah, there was something. There's an article on .com that I was reading this morning about it. And why? Do you know why Lindelof did it? Because when he would talk about Watchmen characters, I believe it was Hooded Justice within the original comic, that a lot of people were like, no, that's not my favorite. Like, they would – Dr. Manhattan or comedian. And so he was such a smaller part that he wanted to add a one of those characters that people talk about. And I think it was revealed.
Yeah, they're saying all styled as if written by Agent Dale Peedy, the dweeby FBI guy who works with Jean Smart's Lori Blake.
Right.
So that's who people think it is. Like, he looks like a putty from the Power Rangers.
Season two, baby. Season two. All right.
Rise of Lube Man.
Some of us do, some of us don't. But that's it for spoiler talk for now, guys. Let's wave our hands like we just don't care. Ooh, Darina's wave freaks me out. No, I – oh, God.
Yeah, that's weird.
Does that hurt your wrist to look at? No.
So that's the cello wave? Is that what you said?
Well, I don't get it.
I just did this a lot when I was a kid, so that's why.
Yeah. Why does that make you do that?
I don't know, because I just – because when you're playing a string instrument, you're taught that you have to free your wrists. Instead of doing this, you actually have to have this movement.
I'm glad that this is on the internet. You're gonna live to regret that.
It's forever.
Okay. Yeah, it is. There's other news going on, especially in entertainment. Mark Riley, what's happening?
Well, speaking of putty, man, we have a Power Rangers reboot in the works.
There you go. Nice segue there.
I guess so. So it's not going to be a continuation of the movie that came out a couple years ago. This is a whole new reboot film coming from the end of the fucking world director, Jonathan Entwistle.
So I watched only season one of End of the Fucking World, and I don't know if that's who directed. Can you check that on IMDb for me? I will say that I will be watching season two because this show was bizarro. Did any of you guys check this out ever?
No.
You know,
wait, which the End of the Fucking World? Yeah, I saw a couple of episodes.
End of the Fucking World, which was on Netflix.
Yes.
And the only reason I watched it is because it was on Netflix and it started playing after something, and then I was hooked.
But you liked it, right?
Hooked, yeah. Totally hooked. So I wonder if he was involved in the – can you guys see Cody Alex?
I'm looking right now.
No, I'm looking behind you.
He did not – he directed –
But you have your big head in front of
him. He directed some
of
my big
– He directed some – well –
Directed five episodes in 2017,
okay.
It looks like.
He is this – it's so weird. The story, the visuals, everything about it is so strange that I think he's incredible. Going to a Power Ranger movie, I'm like, wow. I don't know the through line at all. There must have been something else. There must have been another pitch, a project he had worked. Like, something must have clicked because it is such a different genre. I mean,
didn't Fincher direct Alien 3, was it?
Oh,
he did.
Dude, I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying it's not like they saw End
it's
of
like,
the Fucking
why
World
did he
and they were
chose
like,
that project?
Power Rangers. No, what? Both. Yeah, why did he choose it? Why did they choose him?
Right.
Why is that the marriage? So this is what makes me interesting.
Yeah.
It makes me
interested.
It could
be good. Exactly.
Because it must be, something must be up.
Yeah.
Like, this is a different story, a different take.
He could be just a massive fan of Power Rangers, right? Yeah. And so he wants his shot at it. And they certainly want to walk away from the darkness of the last one, right? The darker, grittier take.
Right.
Having them go back in the 90s, who knows what they're going to do with that, and then come back out to be to the present. We'll see how that does. The writer of Peter Rabbit 2, is that who's writing it?
Yeah. Patrick Burley is the screenwriter of Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway.
Did any of you grow up as Power Rangers fans?
Yes.
Nope. Like the old stuff? Or?
Yes.
No.
I used to have Kimberly at my birthday party. That was like the big... Once a year, I got to have that. I liked Power Rangers a lot growing up, but not since. It's
great
not like
song.
The fandom stuck with me. Cody, why are you a Power Rangers fan?
No, I'm in the same boat as you.
Alex?
I just like the songs I wanted to hear.
Okay, so
that.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you guys know any diehard Power Ranger fans?
Perry.
Yeah. She's interviewed all of them, right?
I wonder what she thinks about this.
So you watched Movie Talk this morning.
Yeah.
But she said
she goes off on a 7-minute rant about or 5-minute rant about.
Really?
Because
she wanted a sequel to the
sequel
to the one that came out in 2017.
Yeah, because she liked that last one.
But does she like
a lot of people?
Does she like this director writer team?
She does like the director writer team. She's concerned about the fact that they're going into the 90s and that thing about nostalgia because of what happened with Terminator. It's like,
and that seems to be happening a lot now that people are getting sick of the 80s nostalgia.
Right.
It's like now we're going into 90s again.
Right.
So.
And she liked this cast. She wanted this cast to come back. So
they look cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, that looks good too. Damn.
I do like the song a lot.
It's really great.
It's really
song,
catchy.
Isn't it?
Mark Riley, talk to me. What else is going on in the news?
All right, let me pull some up. Let's go over a box office report because. No.
Totally.
No, keep going.
Marvin.
Keep going. It's been power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Jumanji, The Next Level, crushed opening weekend with a $60.1 million on its first opening weekend, with Frozen 2 at 19.1, with Knives Out at number 3, number 4 Richard Jewell, and number 5 Black Christmas. But Jumanji, The Next Level, making $60 million, I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah, phenomenally so.
It's next level.
It's next level. I don't have worldwide yet, if it's opened yet. Let me look and go to box office.
Are you surprised by this, John?
Yes.
Me too.
Because the original only grossed $37 million. And only, I say that, it was, you know, opening up against Last Jedi.
And then it was a build.
And then it was a build, right, to $900 million, just over $900 million. But so this is fantastic.
It's huge. $152.5 million worldwide for a total of $212 already in its first weekend. Yeah.
Let me ask you,
feel like these types of sequels don't do well usually.
What percentage of this is due to The Rock?
A lot.
You think?
Maybe internationally.
Yeah.
Sure.
You think he's just kind of like Tom Cruise, where people are going to see his movie no matter what?
I believe he is the biggest living movie star today.
Mm-hmm. Besides Tom Cruise?
I think he is the biggest living movie star today.
Okay.
I think The Rock is. I'm not saying of all time. I'm not saying Tom Cruise is a bigger movie star ever. But today,
right.
I think he
like
is the biggest box office draw. I do. And
I got to take a look at something.
What's that now?
What are you going to look at?
Share with the class.
I want to see.
You want to pull box office for Cruise?
Well, no, because we don't know yet, right? Because Hobbs and Shaw is big. How good did Skyscraper do? How good did Rampage do?
That's true.
Baywatch didn't do well.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with what you're saying. And
I just want to see.
I've had this argument so many times with people. You're not wrong. Just I guess it's my opinion. On that, he is the biggest living movie star. I think that he has such a different wide draw than Tom Cruise is in the conversation. Nobody else is in the conversation.
Well, the thing is, what works in your favor, Roxy, is the fact that he is a star in multiple mediums.
Just so many.
Right? The wrestling thing, still a part of
That's
that. TV show with Ballers, the video games, now Black Adam announcement. So he is a super – and he knows how to work social media. I finally got TikTok, downloaded TikTok over the weekend.
Oh, I don't have it yet.
And he has 13.5 million followers on TikTok already. So he knows what – how to work this entire thing perfectly. So you make a great point.
I don't know. I think that Jumanji Next Level, without him,
Maybe he does half that. I think you're right about that.
But also, I mean, weren't we just talking about this last week, too, that we didn't think it was going to do well, that we didn't see because of
the
season that it came out into? Yeah. Like, we thought it was more of a summer movie, so that's very surprising.
It wasn't that I didn't think it was going to do well because of that. It was that I thought that it would have been a better summer movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I thought that this movie was going to do fine. I didn't think it was going to do killer like it did.
Right.
Always going to do fine when you're opening up with nothing like it around you, and you've got The Rock, and you've got Kevin Hart, and Jack Black, Karen Gillan, like the Aquafina pulling in new stars,
she's
new draws.
Great.
The Jonas kid, I forget which one it is.
Nick.
I can't tell.
It's the Les Mis kid. He was in Les Mis.
Nick Jonas?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He was, yeah. Not in the movie.
Oh.
Actually live, yeah.
I was like, really? I think that they stacked the cards in their favor with their cast and the fact that Jumanji, the first one, did so well, or the first one of this new iteration.
Do you guys think, though, it's because it's end of year and most audiences just want to go see a fun, more like silly comedy because everybody's stressed out, like they don't want to see serious movies like a Richard Jewell or something else, you know?
I think it's a franchise now that audiences know, and there's something comforting about that, knowing you can go into a theater and know you're going to laugh, be impressed by the graphics. It's The Rock, it's Jack Black, it's Kevin Hart, to all the actors there. So I think it's a no-brainer that this thing did well.
Let me ask you guys this. Cats or Jumanji, which ultimately makes more money?
I think Jumanji.
I don't know. I think Cats is going to figure out Cats.
I think Cats is going to do a lot really well, even if it's bad.
When I was driving to meet you guys yesterday, I sat in front of the huge building with the Cats poster, and I just was looking at it and immediately was thinking about my mother, who is the gigantic Cats fan. And who cannot wait to see this thing, has roped off Christmas to say, thank you, Cody, say, we are going to see Cats. And I said, don't you want to see Star Wars? She said, I said Cats. And I was like, okay, got it. Cats.
I mean, aren't you guys all going to see it?
I don't want to see it
so
much.
I asked both of you guys if you would come with me on Tuesday night.
Right.
Both turned me down.
Not because I don't want to, but because I have plans.
I don't have a plus one. Should we sit next to each other for Cats?
You got to do this, guys. I think it's the friendship is taking a turn.
You want to be my plus one or you're already invited?
I'm already invited.
But why don't you have a plus one?
Because no one wants to go.
No one wants to go with me.
I
want to
go, but I have plans.
But for sure, we should sit next to each other.
Okay,
100%.
I'm going to see if I can cancel my plans. Because Perry invited me, too, and I'm like, fuck, I want to go.
You're going in the nighttime one.
Yeah, nighttime. Okay, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Star Wars at 2 o'clock.
Same.
Yep.
Star Wars, guys, tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Can you believe we're seeing Star Wars tomorrow?
By 5 p.m., we'll know.
You guys, I'm so excited.
Are you seeing it tonight?
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to that. I'm supposed to go to the after party.
Oh, good for you.
But I don't know yet. I'm going to see. Here's the thing. I have not. I've been very lucky that I've been able to go to all of these premieres and see Star Wars.
I'm very thankful for it.
I have not seen a Star Wars movie in the theater with fans since probably the prequels.
Wow. Oh.
And so I kind of want to do that on Friday.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I'm already going Friday.
But I also kind of want to see it today or tomorrow.
Wait, pause. Are you telling me you're invited to the premiere tonight and you're debating going?
No, I'm invited to the after party. I haven't gotten a movie ticket
good
yet.
So
I don't know if I can see the movie yet. I could go and finagle myself in there, but I don't know.
So were you or were you not invited to Galaxy's Edge?
I did go to Galaxy's Edge because I've actually been a fan for 10 years.
Yeah.
So longer than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I bust my ass on this show.
I made John uncomfortable with that one.
That is some good paneling, I tell you. On that
I like it too, John. Wow. Nothing new. Mm-hmm.
But what? You guys are for sure seeing it tomorrow, though.
Here's the thing.
Aren't we going to talk about it?
Okay, so I had to see it then.
What?
God damn it. Okay.
Wouldn't we talk about seeing Star Wars, the biggest movie of the year, on our show, Collider Live?
Yes. What do you mean?
So, Darina.
Okay, I have to see it. Okay, I get it.
You're debating not even seeing it on Tuesday?
Well, yeah, right. I was wondering, should I just see it Friday?
Yeah, thank you,
with
Roxy.
The fan. But no, I guess I have to see it to talk about it. Okay, fine.
I mean,
twist her arm.
Isn't it? Yeah,
but also not Friday, Thursday night. Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm going Thursday night.
Yeah.
Not Friday.
How many people are going? Are you have like
106.
70? 106 this
what?
Time.
What?
That's a new record.
What?
That's our new record.
What are you 106 about? People in a theater.
Yeah, every time we go see a Star Wars movie. My crew rolls big. My crew rolls large.
Can you name every one of those 106?
Pretty much, but I have to open my Facebook page to find it.
Is this part of the Mike Kalinowski crew?
It's our crew. Kalinowski's part of it.
I said, is it part of it? Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It's our crew.
It's actually Kalinowski.
He's come on over the last few years, but we already had our crew before Kalinowski.
Oh, so you started.
Tell him that I haven't seen him in a minute, and I would like his chocolate balls. If you have not had them, they are so good, and it's a Christmas specialty of his. And if you're really missing out.
Is it like Pete's Schweddy's balls?
His balls are unlike any other. They're peanut butter chocolate balls, and they are so fucking good.
You just have to put them in your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we should do? We should invite him on this week.
Yeah, we should.
For that.
Okay.
I'd be down.
Just for the balls. Don't tell him that, though, guys. Tell him that we're inviting him on because we love him.
Yeah, thank God this isn't live. I might want to try to get him on a mailbag, so it might work both ways.
I love this comment by Shantizima.
No, when's mailbag?
Whenever. Because we have to do two. We have to record two ahead of time.
He's like, Darina, is the Lou woman sliding into those premieres? You guys got some good puns.
That's really good.
Well done.
Yeah.
While we are talking about pre-tapes and whatnot, just so you guys know, we are going to do a Christmas and a New Year's episode today. We are taping those. So we will open up the phone lines for you guys. For that afterwards, you won't be able to hear the episode, but you will be able to call in after the show for the following 2 hours.
Right.
So make sure you're doing that. But we will open up the phone lines now to take calls today on this live show. Any other news going on, Riley?
I mean, there's another clip for Star Wars that we could talk about. But why?
Don't we want to see the movie, right?
We just need to see the movie. I need.
Why are you mad, bro?
Look, because I'm ready. And I don't want to see these clips anymore. These TV spots.
Tell them.
I'm telling you, Darina.
Why don't you call Disney and tell them stop marketing the movie?
You know what I just was thinking about? When we were complaining about what day we're going to see Star Wars, I'm wondering, Alex, Cody, were you guys making fun of us in there?
No, not yet. Okay. I'm also seeing tomorrow. Shocker.
Nice.
I'm seeing a movie early. No good. Thanks to any of you.
What time are you seeing it, Cody?
I
offered my
well.
Buddy
also,
one.
Literally also, never asked me. I would have taken you in a heartbeat. Cody.
Everybody's going to the two? Okay, I'll go to the two then.
Alex is not going yet. Yeah. Alex needs to go. Can
I get Alex, I have a plus one. You want to come? Come with me.
Yeah,
come.
There we go. That wasn't so hard.
Boom.
And I think mine plus one
I guess
one is
I'll
you.
Go with you tomorrow then, right. Yeah. It's because if you're all going to be there, I want to see it with all of you.
I would offer it to you first.
Now we're all there at 2 o'clock. Friendship, Star Wars.
Okay.
Friends.
I'm taking sausage maker Adam Gertler, so we can all hang.
I like that.
Yeah, he was like,
he's great.
He was like, you know what? I think I can go because I'll be on the street selling Doghouse right before that.
Well, first of all, Doghouse is a fantastic,
great food establishment. It is amazing. I love Doghouse, but I was like, what do you mean? He was like, it's right by, for the screening, we're doing Doghouse outside, so then I'll just pop in. I was like, I don't even get what you're saying, but all right, dude.
Wait,
what?
Oh, no. He's
co-owner.
Yeah.
Oh. Gertler is.
Yeah,
he's the first
mobster. Caller.
Oh.
Call your Uncle Ed Alive. What's your name? Where are you calling from? I didn't just kick you on purpose, just so you know.
Oh, no, I know. I'm the whole show.
This is Yash from Toronto.
Yo.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on? What do you got for us today?
Nothing. Just talking. I've been watching the show. I know it's almost the end of the year, so I'm just probably getting busy to wrap up. But I was watching an episode a couple days ago, and you guys were talking about some of your favorite movies of the decade. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about some movies that were kind of on the top of my head, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of movies that I think people were missing out, I think were Color High Water. That was a pretty favorite.
It's a great movie.
Do you guys think about any movies that you had that you didn't really have on your list at the time, or you thought about it in some hindsight and then kind of wanted to add?
Good question. Thank you so much for calling in. I want to go to Toronto. I've never been. Anything that you guys thought left off that you wanted to add
from this year?
Have one for sure, and it was because I hadn't seen it. And Roka, you were dead right. By absolutely without a doubt, the best movie of the year is 1917.
Yep.
Well, yeah, shit. I need to see that
without a doubt. I'm not saying it's my favorite. I'm not saying even though it is definitely one of my favorite, but it is the best piece of art that I have seen in a long time. It is the best movie of
is
the
it
year.
Mainly due to Roger Deakins?
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't say mainly but would you say this is Deakins' best? Because I almost think so.
It's really hard,
more beautiful than Blade Runner 2049?
That's why I'm
to me
time,
to me they're favorite. To me they're a toss up, but this is unlike anything I've ever seen. I watched it and thought to myself, I have no idea how they did this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I very rarely do I see a movie and think, how the
did they do this? Right. Like, I really don't get it.
Well,
I don't get it.
Crap.
It's okay. So unbelievable.
Because there's a Collider screening tomorrow for it, you and that's go. Why I was between that and Cats.
Oh.
Well, I have to see both.
Yeah.
Well, now you're screwed.
Meow.
Yeah.
Well, Jojo Rabbit has just entered my top five.
Oh,
I finally
did you just
saw
see
that.
It?
I finally watched it
so
this week.
Isn't
it is
great?
It is.
It's excellent.
So good.
It's amazing.
I love it.
Love that
adore
movie.
It.
Anything
beautiful
that
movie.
You forgot to put on your list?
No. No, because I cool. No, I'm trying to think, but no. I
Of the
I
decade,
loved,
right?
Of the decade. I was pissed that I forgot about Her, because Her is one of
yeah.
my favorite movies.
That would be the one for
yeah.
me. Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned it.
Yeah, but I hadn't put it on my list initially. Like, while we were talking about it, I was like, oh, that's got to be on my list. Her is one of the best sci-fi movies, like, sort of romantic dramas that I've seen in so long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler.
Yes, Cody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The best movie and performance to not be nominated. Are they dumb?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Gyllenhaal was not nominated yeah. for that is seriously the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It is the best performance of possibly the decade. And no nom.
He was really
no,
good.
Not even.
But
it's not that he didn't win. He was not nominated. I don't know what's
up
with the Academy
it's a
and
genre?
Jake. I don't,
because
no, I think it's a Jake Gyllenhaal thing. I don't know what is up with them and him. But that dude is one of the best performers of our time.
Right.
And he gets no burn.
Right. Mm. I mean,
no
I think, because I wonder if it's like a thriller, because so many people have been talking about other people being left out this year. Like I said, I think Florence Pugh should be nominated for Midsommar. I think she was incredible. Whatever you think of the movie, the emotional depth to that character is amazing. And she didn't even speak that much.
Little Women, yeah. She was great.
She
I just
was amazing
finally
too.
Saw it. She was really great in
yeah.
that.
I still stand for Zero Dark Thirty. Not a lot of people talk about that film. I know.
I love.
I saw it on
movie.
A lot of people's top lists.
Yeah, I love that film.
I did
That's
see it.
That's a great movie.
I don't like Argo can sink like a stone. Zero Dark Thirty was the best film.
Hey, Alex, I think that when we talk about actors, you should just pull them up shirtless.
Yeah, yeah.
Every
we
time.
Searched Jake Gyllenhaal abs, and
yeah.
these are the results.
Southpaw.
By
baby.
The way, we have a new title for the show today, Alex. You want to pull that up? We have a new thumbnail and everything.
Oh, yeah, what
grab
do we got?
This. Camille's
oh,
abs explained.
Yes, definitely.
There we go.
That's yeah. Actually, that's the pre-tape. Right?
Yeah, that's that. Actually on our Patreon channel, guys. So.
Yeah.
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 Works.
Wow, I
like
could
that.
Look at that all day. Mm-hmm.
Is my big head in the way? Sorry, Roxy.
Yes.
Check some abs.
Honestly, yes.
I'll just
can
be
you
over
move
here.
Your head so I can stare at his
Absolutely.
Abs?
Absolutely, I understand.
Please and thank you.
Can we do more abs explained content on Collider, please?
Yes. Yes. Cody, let us know when we have a caller.
Hey, Roxy. So-
caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Lydia from Georgia.
Hey, Lydia.
Hey, Lydia.
Georgia, so happy to have you here. What do you got for us today?
Hey, first off, I have to do this. Rena Rala Roca Rossi.
I didn't do it today. It's the best.
Thank you.
Damn.
Perfect.
Lydia's my favorite.
I'm really glad. I like having Roca on the show
oh,
more.
Oh, thank you.
Aw,
you
same.
Too.
Yeah.
We like Roca.
I also...
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Roca. One thing I wanted to tell you, I forgot to tell last time, was... I think you said that when you were back in your Army days, you were stationed at Fort Gordon.
Fort Gordon, Augusta, Georgia. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's where I live.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful town.
So
beautiful town.
What's it called?
Yes, yeah.
Fort Gordon.
Fort Gordon?
It's in Augusta, Georgia. I was a Signal Corps guy.
Damn.
So, yeah. That's a beautiful town.
Yeah, thank you. And I hope you you enjoy your time over there. And thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, Lydia. Thanks for calling in. That's very sweet of you to say that.
Wow, all-time caller.
Yes. So my question is, you know, we're coming at the end of the decade and everything. So kind of like a reflective question, and you guys can go into as much detail as you want on this. So if you want to keep it shallow, that's up to you. But where were you guys? But where were you? Were all of you at the very beginning of the decade, 2010?
Oh, great question. Wow, I did not think that was what you were going to ask after the keep it shallow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the call, Lydia. Really appreciate it. Where were you guys at the beginning of the decade, 2010?
Man, I don't remember where I was
last
year.
Damn, I remember. It just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yep.
How I've come full circle.
Were you getting divorced?
I was getting divorced literally at the start of 2010. And I'm going to be getting married at the end of 2019.
Whoa.
Well, so, I mean, I'm coming full circle.
10 years
circle.
Later, you're getting
later.
Married.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 years later.
Which, Cody, you shouldn't
wow.
do, you shouldn't do sad noises for getting divorced. Getting divorced is good. sometimes.
Yeah. There's no wah-wah there. That was a
comedic effect, guys.
Well, it was. You can play the Pokemon song.
Cody, so let me just tell you how to which sounds to play when.
Sure. What's funny,
Ross? I'll just make a list of it for what's good for you. But don't play that then, and then also maybe earlier, just a second sooner. Okay, Darina, where were you? Yeah, good. I'm glad we're on the same page now. Yeah, timing is important. Darina, where were you at the beginning of the decade?
2010.
Oh, geez, I got the timing wrong.
Can you please? You used to be the master of the sound bites. I don't know what happened.
I think that the applause, well, we haven't even heard a response yet. Yeah. So, you know, you got to work on that.
I'm going to say Batman Returns is going to fart on me. So I was.
Yes, Alex.
Yeah.
I nailed that.
I was lucky that the market, the house market was the only time it was good in LA, and my husband and I bought a condo that year.
Nice.
And now
are you still in the condo?
Yes. Yes. So that's pretty cool. I guess it's like a weird thing that you guys own homes. We didn't do that in Mexico. So, but
LOL. Well, no, I do not own a home.
Yeah, nobody in here.
Nobody
owns a home.
Does. Okay. Well, I guess I do.
I own a shoebox. And I pay rent.
Serious
for that.
Question, but you've owned a home for 10 years. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
I was
going to
say I didn't realize that until now because I've never owned anything.
Either you guys invited over there.
Yeah, I've been to your place for your
Halloween party.
You guys
party.
Have all been invited to a Halloween party at some point. We don't have them anymore, but we used to.
I can't believe you've been a homeowner for 10 years. Holy
shit. Isn't
that
weird? Because I was never going to do that, and I grew up poor, so I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then the year after, we got married. So
nice.
Yeah.
You guys bought a place together before you were married?
Yes. Yeah, we needed to live together for a while before we could, you know, see we're going to tolerate each other for a long time.
I love your dudeisms when they got. We had to live together for a little bit before we got together.
Yeah.
John?
This is tough. 2010, that's when I was just about to embark on that terrible 5-year relationship that tore me to pieces.
Oh.
But
so you hadn't gotten in it yet?
No, we were just about to because I was turning a certain age. And I had reached out to this person and we started communicating. She was from my high school, a girl I used to have a crush on. And then we ended up like through email and through Facebook messages getting together. She was married at the time. Divorced, moved in with me. Terrible decision. We ripped it all to pieces.
This is the 5-year girl?
Yeah. But it did lead to something positive because to help me get over the breakup, Christian asked me to start doing Far, Far Away. Mm-hmm. And that's what started me on this path to where I am now. So as much as that was such a terrible experience, it did lead to an incredible end result for me that I never saw coming in my life. So sometimes you got to, like Andy Dufresne, got to crawl through 500 yards of shit to come out clean on the other side. Fair. So as much as I hated that situation, I'll still.
It's right when I first met you, too, my
friend.
Well,
I was going to say, was that far, when far you, away what were you doing career-wise?
Career-wise, in 2010, we were finishing up my movie, my horror movie. It was done. We sold it to Netflix in 2010, and that was right around when the marriage ended.
Right.
And then I was doing just odd jobs and then getting over to Geek Nation where I met you.
Yeah.
And then
so you guys would all say you're better off today than in 2010?
Hells yeah.
By a million miles.
Yeah.
I guess I was in the tech industry then, so I don't know. We'll see. I'm having more fun now.
I was going to say, I'm certainly happier now.
I'm happier now. What about you, Roxy?
Yeah.
Because I know that was like, what, 10
years? So in 2009, I graduated high school. So, I was in obviously a very, very different position. In 2010,
I always forget. Yeah.
2010, I was an acting major, film minor at USC. My mom passed away the next year, so my mom was really sick. So I was actually a commuter student living in L.A., flying back and forth in 2010 every week from Boston to Los Angeles.
Wow.
So it was definitely
That's crazy.
It was a very different time. Mm-hmm. Because she would have killed me if I dropped out. That was like the only compromise. So, I was like on so many drugs. You guys know I've been open about my past. Not like fun drugs, like not good drugs.
Yeah.
And was super, super in like such a dark hole. I honestly don't. It's crazy when people ask me about it because I'll talk about it as much as anybody wants, but I don't remember really because I was like so fucked up.
Yeah.
So I know I was in definitely a worse place, but I don't even like have that many distinct memories of that time in my life at all.
Mm-hmm.
And on that really fun note, Cody, 2010.
Oh boy.
Top that, bitch.
Nope. I graduated high school that year, and I had hopes and dreams, Alex. Alex, where were you?
I was a junior. Really good timing, Cody.
Wow.
You guys are high school
learning how to play music better and stuff.
Wow.
And doing bands. Good impressions, apparently.
What's up? It's your boy Dorian. I was in Underoos in 2010. I was still young.
What's up, you were in under what?
Underoos.
Tell him, Alex.
What's an underoos?
Underoos?
Oh, it's this thing that kids used to wear in the 80s. That's like a little, it was like a
superhero, like underwear,
stuff.
But superhero,
so,
yeah.
So yeah, you would have like Star Wars little like underwear and then a little top. Star Wars superhero, all of the things.
Yeah, I would wear Superman underoos.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
My favorite kind of underoos.
I like that Alex and Cody were just circling.
That's what, yeah.
We can keep highlighting this if you want.
Wow, I really hope that this is when Trisha Helfer decided to tune into the show and see what we were talking about. She's like, what the F am I getting myself into? Don't worry, Trisha. We will definitely talk more Van Helsing and Battlestar and Lucifer and all that stuff right after this commercial. We're coming back again with Trisha Helfer. Thank you so much to John Rocha for joining us.
Thank you.
John, where can everybody keep up with you?
At The Rocha Says. That's all. Thank you, everyone, so much.
Justin Timberlake, that's right.
Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
She's the one in the cute panties. That's right. How could you forget
that?
Yeah, that's right.
Easy.
No offense. I just remember they said Stanford. That's all I remember. This is John Rocha, John Rocha, John Rocha, John Rocha.
Oh, yes, out.
And I'm gonna beat that ass.
Welcome back to Collider Live. Trisha Helfer in the studio right now.
Oh my God.
And boy, are we excited for you. We all love you from completely different fandoms, so I'm excited to break that all down today. But Van Helsing is what we're here to talk about. And I got to say, that first episode you premiered in on this, you were so eerie. And you did such an amazing job. I heard you say that there wasn't that much time from when you were cast to when you actually shot. What was that period of time like? How long was that?
I can't remember exactly. Probably about a week. Sometimes you're cast and it's literally like the next day you're going. Sometimes you have more, you know, a little bit more time, maybe a month or something. But TV runs fast, right?
Yeah, but you have an iconic character. Usually when you're cast, you're not taking on the mantle of a Dracula-type character. Like that.
True.
That's a huge one to undertake where you, like, I have 1 week to figure out how to portray one of the biggest characters of all time, or do you train your brain to just be like, it's just another character, just another role?
It is, you know, it was important to – I was aware of the show. I hadn't seen all the episodes, so, you know, it was important for me to watch as many as I could in the beginning. So I started in the beginning in the first season. And then I talked with Michael Eklund, who plays Jacob and Abraham on the show, and I've worked with him before, and he said, you got to check out season 3, episode 8, you talked about there, and so little things like that help. If you think too much about you're playing Dracula, and you're the first female Dracula, and all that, it can be limiting, because you can just sort of be paralyzing. And then you just want to make it your own and look at, you know, I looked up the history of Dracula, you know, Bram Stoker's. I actually haven't read it. I bought it for my Christmas reading.
It's a little scary.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's Darina's world.
Yeah. Darina just, oh, yeah, that's favorite, your thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. But I didn't have time prior to. Right. And then really just trying to fit in with the tone of the show.
Speaking of being the first female Dracula, how did you bring that into the character? How does that change the character and the way that you move, speak, interact with people? Does it at all?
I didn't want to make it about that. I think the most important thing for me was – sorry, I'm taking out my earrings.
No, that's okay.
No, it's a good move. With these headsets.
I get it.
Dumb also, idea.
We complain about these all the time, so you're good.
Also, just showing them off because they're so pretty. I love those. No. Yeah.
I didn't want to make too much of it in terms of – oh, it's female, and how can we make that? I mean, the show is about Vanessa Van Helsing, so it's already a very female-centric show and female empowerment show, right? Because she's a badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had introduced also Kia and Nicole, Jack and Violet, this season. Kelly was pregnant, so she couldn't complete the season, and they introduced these two young kick-ass women. So to me, it just sort of fit that Dracula was going to be female. My biggest thing is I didn't want to make her look va-va-va-voom.
Right.
You know?
Was that on the table?
No, it wasn't. And I was sort of expecting it in some way. And when I first had my discussions with the hair and makeup team, who were communicating, of course, with the production team, their idea was very a little androgynous, a little a little bit more creature-like.
Yeah.
And that I was like, okay, great. We're all on the same page.
Were you concerned that it was going to be the va-va-va-voom because of past experiences you've had, or just that's the way Hollywood operates, or why?
That's so much of the way Hollywood operates, right?
Yeah.
But knowing this show didn't lend itself to tits and ass, so to speak, right?
Right, yeah.
That I felt I was in safe hands. You never know.
Was this exciting for you for that reason? Because you obviously are a beautiful woman, and you played so many, beautiful, sexy roles. And Dracula is one of my favorite characters, obviously, being a vampire fan. I love the look of it, of her, right? I love that you're kind of more of like you said, androgynous, but animalistic as well. Mm-hmm. Like, did you have any input there as to how, not just how you were going to approach the character, but the look of it as well? Like, were you excited to finally be able to do a character like this since you've been playing more beautiful roles before?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it just sort of helps you get into hair and makeup and wardrobe. Everything plays a part, right? I remember when I was doing Battlestar Galactica and the Pegasus episodes where the glamorous number 6 was watching Gaius talk to – you have to know the show to
–
talk to Gina, who had been, beaten up and gang-raped and tortured and everything. And And when we were shooting on the same day, and we were shooting the glamorous six first and then Gina, and the makeup artist would – she's like, you're changing in my chair. Mm-hmm. You're not even on set yet, and you're changing in my chair, my physicality. I started when I was becoming Gina, you know, the makeup strips off and the mm-hmm. wig and the curls, and all of a sudden the bruises start coming in and I just would start sinking and becoming smaller in her chair. And that's, you know, so similar with Dracula. Mm-hmm. I think it would have informed if I had long curly locks mm-hmm. and red lips and false eyelashes. It would have affected a little bit how you play the character. Mm-hmm. And so it helped. I felt a little creature-like mm-hmm. with that hair and makeup. I mean, how could you not, right? Your eyes are blacked out with contacts. Yeah. You're contoured. You're whited out and then contoured. And the hair was basically gone. It was just slicked back.
Almost goat-like, like a Baphomet or something like that, yeah.
We actually joked that in the beginning, because she's sort of being born out of this portal, mm-hmm. that it was sort of afterbirth.
Yeah. Oh, I get that.
And yeah. I don't think my next episode in the season finale, they necessarily wanted the hair similar. Going forward, the hair will be different.
So you just mentioned the season finale, which is on this Friday.
Yes.
But when you say going forward, what does that mean?
That means if it goes forward, there will be, I don't know. I mean, there's been, of course, you talk, you know, if we're going forward, you know, what storylines and things like that. And I know there was some discussion of, yeah, we'd like the hair to change a little bit.
Well, it's taken them 4 seasons to get to this big bad. I would assume that what they're hoping to do right now is use this season 4 to set up season 5 with you as a series regular on this. Is that what you're hoping for as well?
Yeah, definitely. And it certainly is lending itself to that, right? One of my issues I have with filming in general and TV is quite often if you're only in 1 or 2 episodes, you're not privy to the rest of the scripts. Mm. So I didn't know what the hell was happening on the entire season, except for those 2 episodes that I wrote or was in.
So you didn't know between those two?
No. And when the show started airing, I was filming. I was away. And so I've just recently – I caught the first kind of few episodes up to mine. And then just the other day, I caught the rest of the episodes because, again, I was away filming a Hallmark film. And I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was watching everything up to the finale, kind of going, "Oh my god! If I had, they're talking about me all the time. It's like the elders are—they're summoning me, and Michaela's being killed. Like, I knew that Christopher had—he was made into an elder for the summoning process mm-hmm. or whatever it's called. So I knew about him because that was in my episode. But everything leading up to it."
Would that have informed decisions and choices you would have made as an actor if you had read those scripts and then?
I think so. You know, I've talked to other actors about it, and some say they don't really want to know because if you're not there. But for me, it's more about if your character's talked about or certain things that they're doing. And certainly in Van Helsing, they were doing things to summon Dracula. Mm-hmm. And when I'm seeing it, I'm seeing more of the world that they're creating. And to me, that would help inform. I don't know necessarily for that next episode that I'm in, this coming Friday, the finale. But yeah, in general, I would much prefer – I'm one of the actors that would much prefer to read all the scripts even if you're not in it.
This is kind of a strange question, but are you allowed to ask? Like if you are shooting the last one, I know that it's probably because you're a newcomer on a show that's been running for a while and you don't want to rock the boat and you don't want to be a pain in the butt or whatever it is. But are you allowed to say, as a performer, it'd be really helpful if I could see the other scripts? Or are you not allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it all depends on – it depends on each production, how tight they keep things. With the 4th season, me being in the 7th episode and then the 13th, it was a little bit harder. And going back, I should have asked, and they would have been cool about it. They're mm-hmm. a very open, great production team.
It's probably nerve-wracking, though, to ask for like anything, I feel like.
It can be, yeah. But I would absolutely it's been kind of a little bit of a learning thing. For even when I was doing Lucifer, it was 17 out of 22. The first time I wasn't in one, I didn't get the script. Mm-hmm. And I went to production. I'm like, guys, I want to read the script. But I was talking to a Derek Hughes, a writer friend of mine, just the other day. And I asked him, And he goes, no, again, it depends on how – and he does a lot of the CW shows, and they're really tight because they have a fan base that, like, is wanting to know every little thing.
That's me.
And he says, no, if you ask, then you should be able to be given it. But they assume – a lot of times productions assume the actors don't want to read it because if they're not in it, they don't want to waste their time.
And also you're very busy. They don't – I'm sure they think that you're off working on other projects, which you are.
Yeah. But, it just depends on the actor. So I think you have to – that's something that I've learned is I have to communicate better. I expect that I'd get the scripts that you'd want to read it, but there's a whole bunch of actors that don't want to read it. So
was it different for you? Because on Battlestar Galactica, you were such a huge character in that show. Were you aware of the storyline going forward? Were you getting scripts for that? And is it different now? Because Battlestar was really, for me, it was really the start of when we started talking about these shows on social media. Mm-hmm. So has that changed for you going from Battlestar to Lucifer and then now to Van Helsing?
With Battlestar, there was no social media.
Yeah.
Twitter wasn't around yet.
That's right, yeah.
Because we ended in 2008.
That's right.
Well, kind of 2009, airing in 2009, I think.
Well, because I was going to ask something related to that, because that wasn't around. And when I love the show, it's one of my favorite series of all time. And I feel like the ending, just talking with my friends, some of us loved it, some of us hated, right? And so I'm curious as to what your thoughts on it personally as a fan of the show. Like, what did you think of the ending? And also, how do you think that is that scary to think about? It's like, oh, I'm glad we didn't deal with that because now everybody has every opinion on like the Game of Thrones ending, the Watchmen ending. You know what I mean?
It's kind of six of one, half a dozen of another, right? It's like, if social media had been around, I think the show would have blown up more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then, yes, you are faced with the immediate. You still get the interaction. It's just not immediate. And, back to your question first, yes, I got every script. And in Lucifer, I got every script aside from the first one. I was like, no, give them to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like to read them, and I think it informs. With Battlestar, it was the most collaborative show I've ever been on.
Mm. Why was that?
Just the team. They were the production team, the directors, the actors. It all just – every show has its own kind of family unit, mm-hmm. right? Some get along better than others. Some don't. Some are more communicative. Some are more – keep to your own position. And Battlestar was just everybody wanted to talk about it. Everybody was really invested in the show. And so we discussed like every nitty gritty. Lucifer also is very collaborative, mm-hmm. Different type of show. But it kind of lost my train of thought there.
That's okay, but because
we asked you like three questions. So
yeah, I was like, wait, now I got to go back to that one.
It was just about the finale. Looking back, how you felt?
It's harder to disassociate when you're in it and you're filming. You're never going to make everybody happy, mm-hmm. right? And I think the actors all pretty much liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked it, because it wasn't. Wasn't all wrapped up in a nice red bow, and mm-hmm. and it wasn't all just everyone was destroyed. It kind of hit this middle place, and I'm actually watching it now. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a podcast,
yeah,
called Battlestar Galacticast. And we just
with Mark,
with Mark Bernardin, yeah. And we just started our third season. We taped it last week, the first two episodes with and we had Ron Moore on, mm-hmm. the creator of the show, as our guest,
mm-hmm.
and. There's so many things I forget that I'm actually looking forward to now, kind of. It's been such a span of time. And through doing this podcast and the rewatching of the series, I'll be interested to see if I have more of a fan reaction to the finale than what I remember. Because what I remember is being on set and crying when it was somebody's last scene. Mm-hmm. And they were taking, there was an auction house that was taking our props and going to sell them. And they had figured out if this phone wasn't you, this was the last scene, even though there's two more weeks of filming, that it would literally be ripped out of the actor's hand as the scene was, moving on to the next scene.
Right.
And so there was all these emotions going on, and it was very – so I think for the actors and the team involved, it's hard to disassociate from that. And, you like the episode more because of that, right? So I'm really curious now, going back when we get to the fourth season, of rewatching the show, if I have any other reaction.
Right.
I'm also curious how you feel, because you are diving back into that world so heavily, about the talks of, they're not calling it a reboot, mm-hmm. but the reimagining, or however right. they want to phrase what they're doing with Battlestar right now. Any thoughts on them bringing it back, on possibly wanting to be involved, or what you're hoping to see on the show?
You know, when the news first broke, and there's been hints of it all along.
Yes.
Of I think who was doing it? There was a few different directors that were going to make a theatrical.
Right.
And then it just always came and went and came and went. Our team never had theatrical rights. We only had television rights. Mm-hmm. And then when this one came along with Sam, Ishmael?
Yes.
I can never pronounce the last name properly. Ishmael. Who's brilliant, right? It did feel like a little bit of a punch to the gut, because you kind of went, oh, this is serious. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do a good rendition of it, whatever. And we're not involved. So it did kind of feel like, ugh,
yeah.
too soon, you know? But it's not. It's 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, that went off the air. And there was a chain, a text chain that went around through the actors. And a lot of the actors were like, how dare they do it? Like, it did hit people quite hard.
Mm, really?
Wow. And I think because the show is still airing, like, it's on Amazon Prime, it's on BBC, mm-hmm. you know, it
has
on Netflix.
It has a cult following that continues
yes.
to grow.
And it's only expanding, yeah.
It is only expanding. And I come across so many people that said, you know, I watched it. It was like, I watched it with my parents when I was a teenager, and now I've got kids and I'm showing it to them, or that type of thing. Or people that just never saw it originally and now are seeing it. And so it feels like it's still alive.
Right.
So that's what feels weird about it. But yeah. Funny enough, on the podcast, and we had Ron Moore on in the season finale of season one.
Right.
And Mark asked him, would you ever consider, and this was, you know, a year ago or whatever, would you ever consider rebooting, you know, bringing Galactica back? And Ron said no.
Mm.
He said, you know, he loved it. From the beginning, when we first started, he said he saw it as a 5-year run. And that's what we did.
Mm.
And he said, no, you know, I feel like I did that world. I loved it. But that was my story. And, you know, he's moved on to Outlander yeah. and now, you know, all in it's his new show on Apple TV, All Mankind.
For All Mankind.
For All Mankind.
Yeah,
that's like, you know, amazing. They're filming their second season right now. You know, so he right from his mouth, he said no. And then cut to a year later, we hear this news, and then to hear in the press that, you know, that Sam had talked to Ron, and, you know, they talked it over and Ron gave him his blessing and everything. I'm like, who am I to say, you know, poo-poo it, right?
What do you think changed his mind, Ron's mind?
Well, Ron's not involved.
I know, but giving him his blessing, what do you think made him say, best of luck?
You know, if I could be a fly on the wall in that conversation, yeah. right? Maybe Sam came in with a vision that Ron was like, okay, this is going to complement ours, not, you know, Sam came in, I think, from what I've heard, as a fan of the show. And you know, I'm sure, again, I might be speaking out of turn because I don't know. I don't know exactly what the show's going to be about, but yeah. it's supposed to be, you know, in the same world but focusing on different things.
But I would think that if he's a fan of the show, there would be room and opportunities for you guys to possibly
come back or something.
Pop in, yeah, even exactly. episode by episode.
And would you be interested in something like that? And how do you think the rest of the cast would feel about that?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends. I'd probably liken it to Richard Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a vocal opponent against our reimagining
That's
of the
right.
show. And he had been trying for years to get the show started up again, and a continuation of where the original Galactica mm-hmm. was. And so he was very upset about it. And then Ron sat down with him and talked him through the show. And then I think the miniseries had aired, and Richard saw the show, and then Ron developed this character that was different for him to play, Tom mm-hmm. Zarek, and a great role,
mm-hmm.
and he came in and he killed it, and he then became part of the team and part of the family, and so I think something like that could happen, mm-hmm. where you know, I think most of the cast, if you know, Ron's given his blessing, if the show comes out and it's an interesting take on the world and it's done well and there was a character that made sense, either your own character or something like they did with Richard Hatch, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I think it would make sense. And I think most of us would jump at it. Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of times, and I have to ask you about it because I'm like the biggest diehard Lucifer fan on the planet. I can't even tell you how much I love that show. But I heard that you are coming back. And anything you can tell me about that? I know you had your last day on set in October. Mm-hmm. You wrapped shooting then. Anything you can talk about that experience or what we're going to be seeing from you? Because I have wanted you to come back but had no idea how you could possibly come back.
It was funny because there was a Lucifer convention in Los Angeles shortly before they started filming the season. And
she started it, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
with my love, I say that I started hashtag Save Lucifer. I feel like I did that.
We owe you. We owe you.
It was.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was asked, you know, is Mom or Charlotte coming back? And I said, to my knowledge, no. And I didn't lie because it's not Mom or Charlotte that is back in this episode.
Ooh, interesting loophole.
I hope, maybe, you know, they've got some episodes left. Who knows? I'd love to come back in some form because seeing it's the last season. Mm-hmm. But when they sent me this script and they gave me the offer, I was like, well, wait, I'm not either Mom or Charlotte? What? So without giving too much away, it's a really fun episode. I haven't seen anything cut. I haven't done any ADR for it, so I don't know. But
is this the 1940s
yes.
episode? Damn.
It is. We had so much fun shooting it, and I play a small role in it, but I won't give away too much. But, you know, Lauren and Leslie Ann, everybody's tweeted Instagram pictures of in the 1940s garb, and it's a musical episode. It's a storytelling, and it is really charming and really funny. And I was just so happy to go back and get to play with this team again in an alternate, you know, everybody's – not everybody, but most everybody is playing somebody else. And so it wasn't just me that's right. playing somebody else. And Kevin Alejandro is hysterical in this episode. Like, he just shines. You're going to die laughing.
I'm
going
to die
see.
No matter. Yeah. I can't wait for it to come back. You did mention that it is a smaller role. And another thing that you have called a smaller role is your role in Bombshell, but mm-hmm. a very important role. Mm. Well, I just wanted to know about your decision to take on that movie. It's my favorite movie of the year. It blew my mind with what they were able to do. But did you pick it because it spoke to you, or did you love the character, or why Bombshell for you?
Well, it's a minuscule role. Like, you blink three times and you miss me. Mm-hmm. But to me, it wasn't about that. I mean, it's Jay Roach, mm-hmm. it's Charles Randolph, it's Charlize, it's Jean Lithgow, it's Margot, you know, Nicole Kidman. The cast was great. Oscar winning prosthetics artists, not for my character, but for Charlize and John and so many others. And it was a story, obviously, that I had heard about in the news. And it just was – it was more for me about working with Jay. And I've seen Allison, you know, on CNN. I've watched her show. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I actually hadn't heard – she has a Vanity Fair piece, an article that she wrote that just came out, I think, last Friday or something like that. And in talking to Jay on set about it – he'd gotten to know her quite well and said what a wonderful person she was. And I actually had to audition for it.
You did?
And,
wow.
Yeah, and there's three little, like, there's two little nonverbal, like, it's just a look, mm-hmm. right? And then there's one, I think I say one line, Roger, and I'm on the phone with Megyn Kelly. And it's the reason that I was like, okay, you know, it's a little bit of an ego. I was like, okay, I've got three looks in the film, right? Mm-hmm. One word. But there's so many of these small cameos in it, and it's integral to the story, right? Because it's told from Megyn Kelly's perspective, and she really was the kind of, you know, the Roger Iles team was trying to get her to defend him, and Gretchen Carlson's team was trying to get her to say, you know, her story or to side with the women. And there definitely was. I mean, it's been proven there definitely was a toxic environment at Fox News, mm-hmm. right? And that's what the case was all about. And Megan hearing from all these women along the way that had since left and gone, and women that she knew and respected, each of them played a part in getting her to stand up and say her truth, which in effect affected the outcome of the case, mm-hmm. right? And the firing of Roger Ailes and the ability to say, no, this is not okay. This is not okay in the workplace. And it has started, you know, affecting other places, hopefully. So, and it's not just Hollywood. It's not just journalism. It's mm-hmm. it's restaurants. It's, mm-hmm. you know, accountants' offices. Mm-hmm. It's all over. It's yeah. not just Hollywood. And so to me, that's what was interesting about it. And
did you see the movie when it was finished?
I actually went to the premiere the other night, yeah.
What did you think?
I thought they did a great job with it. Yeah, I mean, it's powerful. It's done, you know, it's not cinematically like this, you know, Game of Thrones something or whatever, but it's newsroom style. It's set in the newsroom and it tells a story. And I think the performances are great. I mean, John Lithgow he's amazing in it.
He is.
He's just amazing in general.
Yeah. He is. But you're just like, oh, just gives the heebie-jeebies to.
Did you get to see any of them on set or talk with any of the Charlize or Margot, John?
No, actually.
In and out.
I was in and out. I mean, granted, it was 3 different days that I was there.
Oh, really?
For those little parts. But aside from Charlize was on screen when I came in to do one of my things, but mm-hmm. in a different part of the – I just saw her on Video Village, and I saw them pulling something out of her nose with tweezers. I'm like, what are you doing? And it turns out she had spacers. Like, that was one of her prosthetics. She had spacers in her nose to make her nose look more like
– Just the thought of that makes me want to –
Yeah, the entire movie with, like, spacers in your nostrils.
Yeah. I mean, well, you look sort of uncomfortable as Dracula as well. I don't know how that – I mean, even the eyes, like the contacts or whatever would freak me out.
Yeah, the contacts, they get on your nerves, yeah.
And the white eye, I was thinking like, wow, damn, I wonder when you wipe off that at the end of the day with a makeup remover.
Oh, it doesn't come off with makeup remover.
Oh, no. What are you going to do?
It's about an hour plus process to get it taken off at night.
God. What about to put it on?
Wow.
It's probably – well, the hair was so easy because they just slicked it back with this goop.
Right.
But that took about 4 washings to get out mm-hmm. at night.
Oh, my God.
And then the makeup probably takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours to put on and probably about 45 minutes to take off. Because it's just – it's made to stay on, right? Mm-hmm. And they would have to – I forget what the name of the thing is for my eyebrows. It's this – glue, basically, that they glue your eyebrows down to try and hide the hair, and then they paint over it. Mm-hmm. And then with the eyelashes,
doesn't that
to
rip off though? When you,
it's not. That's why they have. It's basically pure alcohol that they take it off with.
Mm. Fun
and and you just got to sit there, kind of with it, just you know, sitting on your eye for a while, and then let it dissolve a little bit. And the eyelashes too. They were. It's a really intense type of a. Glue type thing.
Well, what will make it all worth it is if everybody goes and watches Van Helsing. Guys, this Friday, the finale. So go check Trisha Helfer out in that Friday, December 20th, 10, 9 Central for the finale of Van Helsing. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Darina, the most evil of them all. Mark Riley, thank you to John Roca from Before, Cody Hall, Alex Marzonia. I'm Roxy Scar. I'll see you guys tomorrow morning for Collider Live.
Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.